One. Good afternoon and welcome. This is the hybrid commission meeting of May 26, 2021. During the hybrid commission meeting, the city commission is physically present in a socially distanced manner in the commission chamber, Miami Beach City Hall, while city staff attends the meeting virtually. The public's encouraged to attend the meeting virtually. However, members of the public who wish to attend the meeting or provide public comment in person may appear at the commission chamber. While at City Hall, members of the public are required to wear facial coverings and observe social distancing consistent with CDC guidance to limit the spread of COVID-19. To participate or provide comment virtually during the commission meeting, the public may join the meeting by visiting the Zoom app on their smart device, zoom.us, or by telephone. I'm going to read you two numbers, and the second number is toll-free, so I'd recommend that one. 305-715-8592. Or 888-475-4499. I'm going to repeat it, 888-475-4499. Now, the webinar ID number, you've got to write down. It's long. I'm going to repeat it, but get your pen, 813-928-57671#. That's 813-928-57671#. If you want to speak on any item during the meeting, you click the raise hand icon if using your Zoom app or *9 on the telephone to raise their hand. So we're going to begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Where's Tanya? Thank you. Tanya, it's your last day as a city employee, or last meeting as a city employee, right? Yeah. I want to really thank you for your service to our community, to City Hall. And we appreciate all the work you've done. You've been a great city employee. And Alina, you want to say anything before I ask her to lead us in the pledge?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's certainly my honor to take this moment to pay tribute to Tanya and her many years of service here. I'm joined today in the chambers by most of our senior staff, and they're here for you, Tanya, to thank you for what you've meant to us and to the city. I can tell all of you that professionally I met Tanya during our countywide response to the Zika emergency, and without exaggerating, the city of Miami Beach and what the city of Miami Beach did to help us communicate the message and to really be in the forefront of making sure that all of our residents here on Miami Beach and countywide were well informed was really a tribute to Tanya and her staff. Since being here, we've obviously been engaged in the COVID response and the work that and the information that's been on our website. We were well ahead of many things that were being done throughout the community. The creativity, the dedication, all led very aggressively by Tanya. I just want to thank you for what you've meant to me in the year that I've been here. Wish you the very best. Her husband and she have made a very difficult family decision to move back home to Chicago. So we wish you the very best. We send you off with much love and respect and affection, and you will forever be a part of the city of Miami Beach. Thank you.
And you may be very happy there in the summer, but come January or February, you may want December, you may want to consider coming home.
Perhaps.
Thank you for everything you've done. All right, let's go ahead and lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Mr. Clerk, do you have any announcements?
Yes, sir. We can talk. We can do that after the presentation, sir. Probably the best.
Fair enough. Well, we're going to go to presentations and awards first. That's okay, right?
Yes.
What? You know. Presentations. Alina, I told you you were the manager of a county of 2.8 million people. Maybe a couple of them would come to meetings here. We have 92,000. Two or three of them are not activists. All right?
True. Okay. It feels very real in the chambers.
It's really nice to see you all. It is very nice. Okay. Just so you know, I'm going to try to give you a sense of what's next so people can get ready. We are going to start, because I know Commissioner Higgins is here, and she'd like, and everybody loves sunflowers. So we're going to do the sunflower folks first. But what we're going to do second is number 11, which is the, we're We're showing our appreciation to a team of physicians and healthcare workers from Mount Sinai, and then we're going to meet our new CEO of Mount Sinai. So I just want you folks to know I'm jumping ahead because some of those folks we want to send back to the hospital to do their good work. But let's go ahead and bring up a call up PA1.
Yes, sir. PA1 is Proclamation Sunflower Society 50th Anniversary, requested by Mayor Gelbert.
All right. Commissioner Higgins, you want to take over?
Yeah, I do.
I do want you to know that this is somebody I care deeply for, because this is...
Me or Marjorie?
Marjorie is an original, if there ever was an original. And why don't you go ahead and tell us why we're honoring her? We have a proclamation, too, but yours is framed, so we're going to go with you first.
Okay. Thank you so much for letting the county crash your City of Miami Beach Commission meeting. I am a Cross Causeway Commissioner. I get the privilege of representing the City of Miami Beach, and I go back and forth all the time. And so does the Sunflower Society and the sunflowers that make up the society, and they have been doing that for 50 years. So I wanted to be part of what you were doing to honor the 50th anniversary of the Sunflower Society. You have been making good things happen for 50 years, whether it's helping kids, scholarships, working with Lighthouse for the Blind, bringing art absolutely everywhere and bringing it to life everywhere that we can do. It's amazing to watch you all go back and forth from one part of our county to the next. And that's why Mayor Levine Cava, myself, and the Board of County Commissioners wanted to make sure that we, too, brought a proclamation to thank you for all the amazing work that you do to bring life, art, and joy into our county and our community.
That's beautiful. Hold on. We got, Marjorie, we got a few things. I believe we have a video from the county mayor.
Yes.
Let's see magic happen.
For 50 years now, the Sunflower Society has provided dedicated service, quality leadership, and inspired commitment to Florida communities through their generous contributions of time, talent, and funds to benefit thousands of children and families whose needs could not have been met without the intervention, assistance, and love of the Sunflower Society. The COVID-19 pandemic showed us more clearly than ever the disparities in our healthcare system, especially when it comes to providing care for those with special needs. But since 1971, the Sunflower Society has worked diligently to expand access to critical treatments and services for our special needs community, and Miami-Dade County is a better and more equal place because of these contributions and your dedication to expanding access and care. It's my honor to join you and thank each and every one of you at the Sunflower Society for your unwavering commitment to our community. Your work touches the lives of so many Miami-Dade County residents, and we're deeply grateful for all that you've done and all that we know you'll continue to do. And special shout out to my dear friend, Marjorie York, who's carried the torch these many years that I've known her for this wonderful organization. Thank you.
Marjorie, before we let you talk, I just need to tell you something. I have a proclamation that I am not going to read. It's very small font. But it doesn't really say what I want to say, and I think all of us feel this way. You know, a city can't be beautiful on the outside if it's not beautiful on the inside. And I think if I look at every one of the things you do, it is about promoting for our most vulnerable, for those that love art, for those that love collegiality, for those that care about our least vulnerable. You always are not only there, but you are as earnest a person as can be. So for me, I always tell my kids, pretty is as pretty does. And that's what I think our city has to do. And you clearly show that in everything you do. So it is my pleasure as the mayor of the City of Miami Beach to declare May 26, 2021, Sunflower Society Day. Thank you for all you do. The mic is yours, Madam Sunflower.
I'll hold the banner.
Okay.
You're going to jump out of that hat.
Yes, this was made
we'll
by one of our students, and I have to thank
Winsome both and Denise Milo have been our art teachers for 15 years for the free after-school art classes. Sorry, most of our board is not here, but I do have Marjorie Aloni, and when I call her, I say to her, hello, this is the other Marjorie, so we don't get confused. But she is one of our past presidents and does a wonderful job and has been with us many years. Of course, I was not here in Florida 50 years ago. I was just graduating from University of Miami and coming here in the wintertime. But who started this organization was Connie Marjorie. And I didn't meet her until she was the commissioner of Sunny Isles Beach, and she took me into the organization. So I'm really trying to keep it going in her memory. And we try to help the community in every way we can, but we really love to see the children progress in the arts. Some of them are going to be, they'll be future artists someday, and they'll remember Sunflower Society and our teachers, and we hope that will happen. I do want to say that we are having limited classes in the Botanical Garden on Tuesday mornings, 10 to 12, and 1 to 3. So please register the children early because we cannot, unfortunately, accept everyone that we, you know, because of the COVID situation. So thank everyone that has honored our organization today. Everyone in this community is always so nice to me. And this is the first time being back in City Hall for so long. It's wonderful to see everyone in person, and let this, be a trend now, and we'll meet many more times.
Okay, let's come down and take a picture with the Sunflower people.
Margie, thank you for all you do.
Hey, you're looking for me. Hold on.
You're too late.
Wait, I'm going to go down because I have a
fucking... I think you should go down.
Hold on.
We're standing in your place.
Too late.
Come on, Mike. You can stand with me.
This is a good approach.
We're going to go to 11 so
yes,
we can
sir.
Get all these physicians out of here.
So PA 11 is a certificate of appreciation to Mount Sinai for the treatment of Liliana Martinez.
Okay, so so let me just say, I put this on the agenda. I didn't want to create a precedent of bringing in all of our Mount Sinai staff every time they did something great, because we'd just end up with them all the time. But Liliana, who is a friend of so many of us up here, went through such a difficult time and really was saved by the Mount Sinai staff. I thought it would be a good idea, especially as to recognize the staff so people could understand really what it is to be there, what it is to go through this, and how important they were to us. So I've got actually a whole slew of, in alphabetical order, appreciations, and I'm going to call out the names. I don't know how many of them are here, but anyone's are here, please come up. Liliana, I'd like you to... Well, Liliana, why don't you come up now? Come on. Now, you need to know Liliana is a crier, so we're not going to get through this very far. So I'd like Dr. Ari Cement. I'd like Dr. Cynthia Rivera. I'd like Alda Shavari. Susanna Cortina. This is the team, by the way. This is how much care is given. Abesta Chulin, Kemi Dada, Jesta Delfonse, Judy Darkalos, and Charmaine Mullins, and finally, Graciela Salazar and Elizabeth Vasquez. And Jay Watt. And I want to just say, I'm going to give you all these to take back to our colleagues, to your colleagues, but this is what kind of care was happened over this last. I mean, Dr. Cement, who was so critical to what we were doing in the city and how we were preparing ourselves, you know, this is the kind of care they give everybody. And during COVID, it really was amazing. So, Liliana, we are glad you made it through this. We all were rooting for you, and we really are grateful that you were able to inspire such wonderful medical care in Mount Sinai. Of course, you want to say something, go ahead. And I know Commissioner Gongora wants to say something, and any of my other colleagues who'd like to.
Muy buenas tardes, City Manager, Señora Lina, Vice Mayor, los comisionados, mi bello alcalde. Estoy un poquito nerviosa. Voy a decirlo en español. Alguien tiene que traducirlo. Me gustaría aprovechar esta oportunidad para agradecer a todo el personal de Mount Sinai por la increíble atención que me brindaron cuando me diagnosticaron COVID. Ellos me salvaron la vida. Siempre estaré muy agradecida con el equipo. Me han ayudado a vivir de nuevo. Me gustaría agradecerles a todos individualmente, pero no acabaría. Alda, la gente que limpiaba, queda un poquito agitado uno después de esto, perdón. Especialmente también a nuestro vicemayor Michael Gongora, mi bello alcalde, que él presentó al doctor Seaman, a la doctora Rivera, que es la infectóloga. Tenemos aquí al jefe de infección. Les digo con el corazón, cuídense. No es una cosa fácil. Es una cosa que, una enfermedad del diablo. Es algo que todos tenemos que crear conciencia de esto. Las secuelas, todavía tiemblo, pero este personal, la gente de la limpieza, todos los que no han estado aquí, a la comunidad, a mi gente, a mi señor, toda la gente que se involucró en este caso. Yo llegué con 36 de oxigenación, casi para entubar. No sé si van a describir el video, el doctor Seaman va a describir para que vean cómo se ponen los pulmones. So. Tremendo.
You can
describe?
Yeah, do whatever you whatever is compliant with HIPAA, you can talk about.
I wasn't prepared.
Which apparently we're not following today, but that's okay.
I really wasn't prepared at all to say anything, but since we're here, we'll talk. I will want to point out we have Dr. Rivera and Dr. Tudor, who from the very beginning, there are infectologists, and they went into the rooms the very beginning and led the way to show not for us not to be scared, none of the other physicians. So a huge round of applause. These are true heroes in front of us. Unbelievable. But for there we go. There's the X-ray. Actually, that must be the follow-up X-ray. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's a good X-ray. Let's see the ugly X-ray. Anyway, when Liliana came in, she was very, very short of breath, and she needed to be on. She has a very feisty spirit, a spirit of life, and unbelievable. She did everything she could. That's the X-ray when she first came in. You can see the right side is when you're looking at on your left side. That's her right lung. On the right side is her left lung. Okay? So on the right side, you can see in the bottom, it shouldn't look like that, very hazy and white. That's a pneumonia. And a lot of the patients with COVID pneumonia require tons of oxygen. So in the first phase, if she would have showed up, she would have unfortunately had a tube to help her breathe because she was requiring 100% oxygen and a non-rebreather mask. You have any other pictures? But that's good enough. But she needed the 100%, and then Dr. Rivera came in and started
Yes, I can fill in a little bit. I just want to backtrack for a second and say thank you for this. This is very emotional about being recognized. The infectious disease team, Dr. Ari Cement, we were really, I can't believe it's been almost a year and a half since we started this nightmare, and I'm so proud of Mount Sinai and all the work that's been done to serve Miami Beach and the community at large. It's been a really long journey. And caring for Liliana was such a joy. She's so feisty. She has so much spirit of life. There was no way this was going to get away from us. Let me tell you, she exemplifies what we see with most COVID-19 patients, and that's the uncertainty from day to day. Dr. Cement and I one day would see her oxygen at one level, the next day it would drop. And so that requires very fast treatment. That requires lots of bedside tweaking of medications and monitoring of the patient, and she got very sick. But thanks to Dr. Cement and the whole team, she really pulled through. And I'm just very happy to see her doing so well and off of an oxygen tank. So, yes.
Thank you.
And that's really it. And I want to point out the great nursing staff that we are blessed with every day. We get to work with them, these amazing nurses at Mount Sinai, and all the local hospitals are, but our nurses are some unbelievable, represented over here. Six Blum nurses and ICU.
Yes.
So God bless us all, and thank you very much, Liliana.
Thank you. Gracias, Comisionado Ricky Arriola, por todos sus mensajes diarios. Comisionado Ricky Arriola, muchas gracias.
May I add something?
Yeah, I just want to say to the doctors and to the nurses, and, you know, we really didn't, I think a lot of people had no clue how important you would be at the beginning of this. You did, because you told me early on what I should worry about. But the truth of the matter is I sort of knew what was going on with Liliana pretty regularly, and it was amazing to me. And I know that we should treat her as representative of many patients you had where you did exactly the same thing. And we just really are very grateful to have you all. Although I will tell you, when I heard she was going there, I know you thought you were worried about her. I was worried about all of you, because we know Liliana, and she is a fighter and a great community activist and a lover of our city. And so we thank you for keeping her here and safe and healthy. Commissioner Gongora.
Yes, thank you. I remember a very scary morning when Liliana's son called that Liliana was having trouble breathing and that there was an ambulance on the way to take her to Mount Sinai. And to your hospital's credit, I'm sure the mayor, as I did, jumped on the phone to make sure that she would be well-received. And not only was she well-received, she was very well cared for by the wonderful medical attention that you've provided at Mount Sinai to our residents. And we are grateful for the treatment of Liliana and for all of our patients every day. Liliana, le quiero decir en español para que entiende que me acuerdo la mañana que me llamó tu hijo, que estábamos todos preocupados, que no podía respirar y el miedo que había. Y estoy tan feliz verte perfecta, saludable, como una persona que recientemente pasó por algo también por el salud. Yo entiendo el miedo que hay y estamos todos felices y agradecidos por el buen tratamiento de Mount Sinai. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Oh. Yes, let's get a, gotta get a picture. Come right up here. Come on. I'll come.
Thank you for all you do. Yeah.
Well, we can do something. Yeah.
Are you going to be?
Yeah, come on. Come on over here. All right, you're a little taller than we expect. Hurt my ankle. It turned my ankles. It might be better. Yeah, you can just come in.
She wants me to turn the temperature up because she's hot.
All right. R9A.
Yes, sir. R9A is introduction of Gino Santorio, President and CEO of Mount Sinai Medical Center.
Gino, are you on? Where's Gino?
Hi, can you all hear me and see me?
Yeah, there you are.
Good evening, thank you, and apologize, I can't be there in person, I have a conflict, but Mr. Mayor and commissioners, everyone there in the public, thank you so much for the warm welcome and the opportunity to introduce myself. Looking forward to being there in person next time. My name is Gino Santorio. I am on my 100th day at Mount Sinai, and it's really heartwarming to see the experience that our caregivers just gave, and congratulations to them, the whole team. I will say that the people here, the reputation of Mount Sinai and Miami Beach precedes itself, and it's really, frankly, better than advertised. It's an honor to be here. I've been in South Florida as a healthcare executive for a little over 15 years now, and it was really a dream to be able to come to Mount Sinai. And so to be here now and to continue the great relationship that we've had with the city is an honor. And I would just like to say, even from afar, I was most recently up in Broward County running the Broward Health District. Seeing the relationship that Mount Sinai had with the city and really being on the front end of everything and being very aggressive really was nice to see. I mean, I think a lot of lives were saved, the monoclonal antibodies. You know, talking to Dr. Cement, his discussions with the commission about being on the front end of prevention rather than waiting for it, I think really saved a lot of lives, and that was great to see. So, again, it's a privilege to be here, and thank you for everything that you all have done in the last 14 months around COVID. I really believe lives were saved, and businesses were saved as well with some of the economic initiatives that were put in place. So, excited to be here and can't wait to meet every one of you, and thank you so much.
Thank you. And, you know, it's a great hospital. It's one that's important to us, so we appreciate you showing up today, and we appreciate all you're going to do for our residents. Okay, let's get back to the presentations. We're going to go right down the order, so let's go to PA2.
PA2 is Certificate of Appreciation, fine. Commissioner T. Spencer Crowley III, requested by the city manager.
Okay. There you are. Come on. Where's Judy? Okay. Is she coming? Okay. Commissioner Spencer Crowley III represents the city of Miami Beach on the Florida Inland Navigation District. FIND, it's known as, board. It has two missions: to perform the functions of local sponsor of the Atlantic Intracoastal Waterway Project and to provide assistance to other governments to develop waterway access. City of Miami Beach recently completed the construction of the park dock at Maurice Gibb, and as encouraged by FIND, the city would typically hold a ribbon cutting. However, due to COVID, we didn't do that. So in lieu of the ribbon cutting, the city is presenting a certificate of appreciation to Commissioner Crowley and FIND. With that, you'd like to say something?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. Tough act to follow there. Very nice. Nice to see a success story. Commissioners, manager, nice to be here with you all today. My name is Spencer Crowley. As the mayor mentioned, I'm the Miami-Dade County Commissioner to the Florida Inland Navigation District. And we are an independent special district to the state of Florida. Many of you may know that there's a waterway called the Intracoastal Waterway that actually runs inland from Miami-Dade County all the way up to Jacksonville, north of Jacksonville. And that waterway has a tendency to fill in with sediment around our ocean inlets. And that's a problem because that waterway brings billions of dollars of economic activity to South Florida. And it's our job to make sure that it's navigable for vessel traffic to come down to South Florida to spend money, to buy provisions, to buy boats. And so we take our job seriously. We work with the Army Corps and our local communities. We also have another role, which is to provide grants to local governments like Miami Beach for projects that help the public get access to the waterway. We have a lot of people, obviously, in the county and in Miami Beach that don't live on the water, so it's difficult for them to enjoy the water the way that, most of us like to do. So we try to focus our grant funding on projects that allow people to get to the water, to enjoy publicly accessible waterfronts, to actually get into the water, which is the reason why we're here with a Gibb Park boat launch. And we do other types of projects as well. We can fund law enforcement vessels for your Marine Patrol. So, you know, please feel free. I mean, your staff does a great job. Judy's been working on these grants now for, I don't know, 10 years or something. So we've done very well. I think over the past 10 years or so, we've granted the city of Miami Beach about $5 million, and that money has been leveraged up to create $15 million of projects that may not otherwise be created. So we helped with the pier and government cut. We helped with the Pine Tree kayak launch, Gibb Park. We also helped fund the Miami Beach Blue Way plan. So we enjoy our partnership with Miami Beach. We thank you all for having us here today so we can say a little bit about what we do. And I guess Judy's here. She may say a few things, but I also have a check to present to you all today. So.
That makes it very special. All right, well, Judy, you speak then. I'll come down for the check.
Yeah, I think the check really does come first, but just really wanted just to say a couple of really quick words to basically thank Spencer and also the entire board of the Florida Inland Navigation District called FIND for really supporting our projects, and they really do. One of their missions is to provide assistance to local governments in waterway access improvement projects, and of course that's a really important category for the City of Miami Beach. Spencer mentioned some of the projects. One of my favorites is the South Point Park Pier, which they gave us a great grant for, but they really have supported our projects. Often Spencer speaks up and knows more about the intimate details of projects than even I do after writing those grant applications, and he really does put a lot into it. So thank you to Spencer and the entire board. Thank you.
All right. Is this a check presentation?
We'll mix it up here. I'll go on this side.
You're on this? Okay, I'll go. This is my better side.
What do you... Yeah. Good day.
Lean it.
Get it?
You got to cram in with Rick.
Yeah.
So the next one is PA3, Proclamation Miami Beach Rowing Club's Patrick Ward, requested by Vice Mayor Gongora.
PA3. All right. PA3. I'm very excited, first of all, to be back at live proclamations and awards meetings. And PA3 is for somebody very interesting that I actually learned more about his history in a Miami Herald story, and that's Patrick Ward. Patrick, as we approach Memorial Day, I couldn't think of a better time to honor this U.S. veteran who has been a part of South Florida for over 20 years and active in our community. He's a 65-year-old, disabled U.S. Navy veteran injured on active duty that undergone 52 separate surgeries and an amputation of his right leg above the knee. But Patrick has overcome. He started training at the Miami Beach Rowing Club 4 to 5 times a week. He wears his Miami Beach uniform as he competes in regattas representing our city from Paris to Boston to Sarasota. Internationally, he holds 8 world records in men's rowing and many gold medals. Patrick just returned from Olympic team trials, where he finished 2nd in mixed doubles, placing him as first alternate in the 2020-21 Olympic Games this summer in Japan. Not only is Patrick an amazing athlete, but he raises money for the Miami Beach Rowing Club. He's active in the Miami VA Medical Center, where he was the recipient of the honored National Spirit of Sport Award from the VA. In 2010, Patrick personally saved the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival here from going into bankruptcy with a $10,000 individual donation, as well as matching grants dollar for dollar. In 2011, he received their prestigious Film Angel Award. For more than 18 years, he's been a supporter of film. He has been at many of the Miami Film Festival events, as I recall. In 2018, he received an award from my friend who's here today, Steve Adkins, the Miami-Dade Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce Community Service Award for outstanding work for the community. And in 2019, he received the Florida Governor's Award with Valor for his accomplishments. Patrick, I can't think of a better day to give you a proclamation as we approach Memorial Day. So I would like for everyone to stand as we honor a U.S. veteran and a Miami Beach hero and proclaim it Patrick Ward Day. Patrick is with us virtually. So.
You're recognized. You get us some. Hold on, we're having trouble hearing you, PJ.
You're waiting for me. Just give me a signal.
Patrick. We cannot hear you. Can you go ahead and adjust your microphone? Because we're not hearing your sound on our end. Well, we heard that.
These are the technological issues we sometimes see in the hybrid meetings.
Yes, Patrick, we still are having trouble hearing you.
Patrick, can you hear us?
Yes, Patrick could hear us, but we cannot hear Patrick. So let's circle back. I'm going to work on with Patrick on the back end and see if we can get the audio back up.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we'll move on, and then we'll come back when we figure that out. Let's go to PA4.
Yes, sir. PA4 is Proclamation, Miami New Drama, Recent National Accomplishments, requested by Vice Mayor Gongora.
All right.
I'm excited to be able to introduce and present this proclamation to someone that is very known to us and an entity that we all love, Miami New Drama, with all of their recent and amazing accomplishments under Michelle Hausman, their director. As most of us know, Miami New Drama was founded in 2014 by Michelle, and it became our resident company at the Colony Theater in 2016. It's hard to believe, but in 5 years, the Miami New Drama has really changed the narrative of live theater in Miami Beach. And it's really set a new bar for multicultural inclusion and storytelling on a stage that deeply impacts not only the Miami Beach conversation, but the national conversation. The company has produced many exciting world premieres. Most recently, Seven Deadly Sins, which garnered international attention and was featured in the New York Times, the Washington Post, American Theater Magazine, and more. Miami New Drama won the prestigious Drama League Awards, the oldest and one of the most important theatrical awards in this country, for its production of Seven Deadly Sins, And to let you know how important that award is, in 2016 it was awarded to Hamilton, and in 2017 it was awarded to Dear Evan Hansen. This is the first time that a theater company from Florida has won that award. This has been the largest theater production across the United States during the COVID pandemic, employing over 100 theater artists and technicians. Michelle is joined today by Claudia Campos, the Director of Communications, and I know I speak on behalf of the mayor and the commission in recognizing that today will forever be known as Miami New Drama Day in the city of Miami Beach.
Thank you. Thank you, commissioners. Also from Liliana, mi bello alcalde. Thank you really so much for this amazing honor. What we do would be impossible without the support of the city. That is something that every time I get a microphone, I am proud to say. We would not be here at the Colony Theater without a partnership that Commissioner Steinberg, Commissioner Arriola started 5 years ago with a group of commissioners. We would love to continue this, to bring Najes to the city and change the narrative and make Miami Beach, as this commissioner, this mayor has made, a cultural capital of the world. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I need to compliment you on your deployment of Yiddish here. It's very impressive. Look, but the truth of the matter is, what you've done over there, seriously, not just Seven Deadly Sins, which was so imaginative and so important at a time when people really thought the lights were out in the arts world. You showed them that it was not, and you're. I know it's not just you, but you represent all the people you work with, all the actors and actresses, and all the people that work on these productions. It really was amazing to all of them. We're so grateful. But to you and the effort, I mean, you've turned it around. Back then, only a few nights were light in the colony, and now almost all of them are, not just with your productions, but with others. So as a producer and as a creator, you really have been, Miami New Drama and Michelle, you've been awesome, and we're grateful for you. You're a homegrown product, and we want you to stay here because we think we're the right place for you to be, and we appreciate your genius in our city. Thank you. Yeah. Let's go to PA5.
PA5 is a proclamation to Visitors and Convention Authority, the VCA, for recent awards and accolades requested by Vice Mayor Gongora.
All okay, right. Gongora.
This is my last one, everyone. Don't worry. But this is a very important one. Now more than ever, we really need to support the work of the Miami Beach VCA, a wonderful group of appointed residents that really focus on our city with a mission to proactively recruit, develop, and financially support an array of events, festivals, programs, activities, you name it, they come before them, and they run very well and very professionally. They've had a number of board members over the year that come off, they come back on because they do such a good job. Nobody wants to leave. One of the few people who I think who has left is our colleague, Commissioner Steinberg, who used to be on the VCA before her service here. The Miami Beach VCA has won numerous awards over the past year, including the 2020 Flagler Award Visit Florida Creativity and Public Relations, the 2020 Travi Award, Best Tourism Board, U.S. and Canada,
and the 2020 World Travel Awards, North America's leading tourism board, to name a few. They are committed. They are led by longtime leader Grisette Marcos, who's the executive director. And I think you've been there ever since I've been on the commission. I remember meeting with you 15 years ago and you telling me about their good work. You have a number of your board members here today. I see Peggy Benoit, who I think is back. I see Steve Haas. I see Steve Adkins, who I believe is the chair. I see George Neary. Anybody else? Uncle, yes, welcome. And Jeff, I'm like, who's there? I can't see anybody under the mask. So everybody that's here today, congratulations. We thank you for your work. And it's also our pleasure to proclaim that today will also be known as Miami Beach Visitor and Convention Authority Day in our city. Thank you for your service.
Grisette, come
Steve,
up.
Steve, does somebody want to say a few words?
Grisette, come up.
Jeez, you're very...
Quickly, I just want to say thank you, Michael, Mayor, Commissioners. It's an honor to serve on this board and to market such an amazing destination. It does it on its own. So, Grisette?
Thank you so much for the honor. It is my honor, actually, for the last 20-odd years, to serve with these wonderful, wonderful board members over and over again and to serve this city and all of you. Thank you again.
Board members can come up. We'll take a photo of you.
All right. Very happy to say I believe we have taken care of the PA3 with Mr. Ward, the technical issues. PJ, can you get us Mr. Ward? We'd like to talk to him about his amazing career and his association with our rowing club. Hi, Mr. Ward. Can you hear us?
I can, and I think you should make Commissioner, any of the commissioners, go over again all those nice things you said, I think. It's an honor to get this recognition. There's so many fine people and organizations that make Miami Beach what it is. To make it a home to so many people, Miami Beach Rowing Club is one of those organizations. For me, it was the organization that can get you back out, get you, more invigorated it's a program for everybody. It's got, wonderful services. But, for me, for a veteran who your life suddenly changes, sometimes you just need someone. You need an organization, or maybe it's just one person to help you turn off the TV, get up off the couch, and get out of the house. And, in Miami Beach Rowing Club, which is, offers so much, it's where I have my sunburn. I thank them, and I thank you for your support of organizations like them, your funding. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And so I appreciate it. I appreciate what you're all doing for me and for everyone to help make Miami Beach a home, because that's our home. If you can see the flamingo on my shoulder, one of the Miami Beach flamingos. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Everybody knows, I, when my daughters rowed, I became president of the rowing club simply so they couldn't force me away and I could watch them. But the city at that time, funded all of the equipment necessary to do para-rowing. And within a year or two, the actual U.S. National Olympic team for para-rowing was the Miami Beach Rowing Club team. It's really amazing that we sent our city's sponsored rowing club sent to the Paralympics the U.S. team, which I found utterly amazing. Okay, let's move on to the next one. And this is Commissioner Steinberg, you're up, PA 6.
Just because it's hard to see in the audience, is Mr. Modia here? If you are, stand up. Yes, you are. Oh, yes, in the back. All right, Mr. Modia. So for those of you who don't know, you want to read the title?
Yeah, so we're doing PA 6, which is Proclamation to Ray Modia, 39 years of service for Miami-Dade County Public Schools, requested by Commissioner Steinberg.
Yes, for those of you who don't know, Mr. Modia was also known for being the jazz ensemble and music teacher over at Nautilus Middle School. Actually, you taught my sisters at Nautilus Middle School. You've been there 39 years. Well, you ended your career at Nautilus, but you spent a lot of it. But for those of you who don't know, he's affectionately called Modia by his students. The educator and band director for Miami-Dade Public Schools started in 1981 and is best known for his work at Nautilus Middle School. And Ray, who retired in 2020, is called an awesome force for incorporating music into the lives of thousands of students, their families, their schools, and their communities by 1308 Productions, the nonprofit organization devoted to public service and music education. Since retiring, he has continued to perform and teach his method known as Seminario de Musica. I hope I said that okay. And Modia has performed with Arturo Sandoval and Alex Acuna and David Sanborn, Kevin Scott, and the Buena Vista Social Club, and was a Grammy Award nominee in 2017 and in 2014. So now, therefore, do we want to acknowledge your service for Miami-Dade County Public Schools, everything you've done for our students. Today, proclaim in the city of Miami Beach, May 26, 2021, is Ray Modia Day. Congratulations. So, if you're here, come up to the microphone, say a couple words, and I know they have some, I know Monica is here from the PTSA, from Nautilus as well.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here this afternoon. Miami Beach always been my life. I even went to Nautilus as a student. I graduated from Miami Beach Senior High School. That's where I met my sweetheart, also from Miami Beach Senior High School, my wife, and my grandson is here as well. And I thank God, really, for giving me the opportunity to work at Nautilus as a professor. Since 1984, when I started there, 37 years in Nautilus, they offered me many opportunities, like a block away from my house, because I live in South Miami, in Kendall. And I won't change it. I won't change it for the world. Miami Beach, I used to live in Miami Beach as well when I first got married, and Miami Beach always been, you know, my city. So, and it always will be my city. So I thank you, all of you, for giving me this honor. And I thank God for it, too. Thank you.
Congratulations, sir. Okay, Steinberg, we're back to you for PA 7.
Yes, as we near the end of the school year, we have amazing teachers who have dedicated their lives to helping children in our community. And we have another wonderful teacher who, after 35 years, is also retiring. Rochelle was born at Mount Sinai Hospital, was raised here on Meridian Avenue in Miami Beach. She graduated from the University of Miami in 1986 and immediately began her teaching career, actually, at the Lerman Day School. Funny story, we just found out this past month that she taught my baby sister in 1986 at Lerman. So it's crazy. Rochelle began to work with Miami-Dade County Public Schools and taught at Feinberg Fisher K-8 Center from 1989 to 1991, South Point Elementary from 91 to 2018, and North Beach Elementary from 2018 to 2021. She's a great niece of a 45-year teacher and librarian that taught at Feinberg Fisher School, where coincidentally her husband was a student. She spent many holidays at Feinberg Fisher Library, where she unknowingly crossed paths with Robert, her now husband. Listen, it was meant to be. Rochelle and her husband have made Miami Beach their lifelong home. Now, after dedicating 35 years of her life to teaching our youth, she is retiring. And although Rochelle will greatly be missed in our Miami Beach classrooms, we know she will continue to inspire future generations through other endeavors. So, therefore today, on behalf of the mayor and the city commission, we proclaim May 26, 2021, as Rochelle Arkin Day in the city of Miami Beach. Thank you for your service. Rochelle, come up, say a word.
I don't really know what to say. I'm just so lucky that I've been able to do this job for 35 years, and I just hope everybody goes to work as excited to go to work every day as I've been for the past 35 years. I've been so blessed with all of the families, Commissioner Steinberg's son. I have Mrs. Berthier. Both of her daughters have been in my class. I've had the most wonderful parents that you could ever have in the city of Miami Beach. Our parents are so supportive, and our families are just amazing, and I'm very, very grateful to have spent the past 35 years as a teacher here, and I will definitely miss getting up every day and seeing the kids' beautiful faces. So thank you so much for honoring me for just doing my job.
Well, you are amazing, and the students are that much better off having been in your classroom. So thank you for all you do.
Thank you so much.
How are you, sir?
It's good.
Plexiglasses. That's an interesting name.
Plastic free Miami Beach.
Please smile, everyone.
One, two, three.
Congratulations, Rochelle and Robert.
Congratulations.
So PAA is next. Is proclamation to Leandra Hall, 2021 Silver Knight Award, requested by Commissioner Samuelin, Mayor Gelber, Commissioner Steinberg, and Vice Mayor Gongora.
Everybody.
Mayor, I'm happy to tee it up if you
like.
Thank you, and I believe I have the good fortune of kicking off the next three. Let me invite Leandra and her proud parents to come on up to the mic. I'll say a couple words and, of course, look forward to hearing from my co-sponsors. We all know the critical role that technology is playing in our society, and it's so critical that we all participate in that movement. And it is especially critical that the next generation, a really young generation, step up and make a difference. And that's what Leandra has done, and we're so honored to recognize her tonight. She partnered with Code Fever Miami and Bots for All, and she founded and developed her website called afrotechie.org, which provides online resources for creating and running STEAM programs. She was recognized. We know she's special, but the rest of the county knew she was special as well. She is one of 30 seniors to be high school seniors to be recognized for a Silver Knight Award. In times where we need the youth to step up, Leandra is a role model. And so on behalf of myself, my co-sponsors Steinberg and Gelber, today we are honored to proclaim May 26th as Leandra Hall Day. Woo!
All right, let's hear from you. I'm tired of hearing from your dad.
I'm up next.
Okay, all right, we'll suffer it.
Words cannot describe how proud I am and how thankful I am to be awarded such a high honor. It's still surreal to me that I even won the Silver Knight, and it's even more surreal to me to be even given a day to be recognized by my city. I know for a fact that I've always been proud to represent Miami Beach wherever I go, and now as I leave Florida to go to college, I'll be even more proud to say I'm from Miami Beach, not Miami, Miami Beach. And I would like to thank each and every one of you for giving me this award, and I know we've worked together through the Miami Beach Youth Commission on my local history initiative, and I'm so grateful to have been able to spend time and working on this with you. And again, thank you so much. I am so proud and so ecstatic to be a representative for my youth, for my city. Thanks again.
Thank you. All right.
I'll let your dad speak before I speak. I'll let your dad go.
He gave me the mic. Okay. I'm no stranger to you guys. I bring you greetings from the Lagoras Pine Tree HOA president and also as the chair of the Black Affairs Advisory Committee. So I'm glad to be here. So I thank Commissioner Samuel Steinberg and Mayor Gable for the wonderful honor for my daughter. It's been really difficult this year, as you know, with this whole COVID thing that it's been hard for the kids to actually get through, you know, all these Zoom calls and everything else. So it's great that we have this gathering together like this physically. We really appreciate it. I know we all zoomed out. So I wanted to quickly put a couple of points about Leandria in the record. She is born and raised on Miami Beach. She's a Mount Sinai baby. She's a Miami Beach native, right? She is the first black youth commissioner in the history of Miami Beach. Thank you, Mickey. And she's also, actually, that's what I saw from Commissioner Higgins, she's also Miami-Dade County Commissioner also. Yeah, so yeah. And in the role of youth commissioner, she initiated, as she mentioned, the MB History Program, which provided, I guess, a history of the LGBTQ community, Jewish community, black community, and Hispanic community's contribution and sacrifices to the development of the city of Miami Beach, which is very, very important. Phenomenal history. She's the featured speaker of the city's upcoming Juneteenth celebration. That's from Lizette Arrogante. And she'll be attending Spelman College in the fall. And finally, as you know, while we're here, she is the winner of the prestigious Silver Knight Award, the only student on Miami Beach to do so. All right? So please give me a hand of applause for Leandra Hall. And also, I'd like to recognize my wife, Michelle, of course. My mom, come mom. Come on. She's going to come up and take the picture, but that's my mother right there. And of course, Maceo, in the corner here, my son. All right? Like, again, appreciate all the help and recognition. It makes us proud to be residents of Miami Beach. We thank you.
Wonderful. Let's get a picture.
Yeah, I just wanted to say really quickly.
Commissioner Steinberg.
I just wanted to say, Leandra, you're amazing. I am so proud of you. You are my appointment to the Youth Commission, and honestly, it's unbelievable what you have been able to do in this last year. And your voice carries, and I just want you to know that you are absolutely, I can't wait to see where you go from here, because the sky's the limit. And so thank you for everything you do.
And to the halls, really are very, I mean, I sort of, look, I love proud parents, and it's beautiful. But really, to you, you're really a wonderful asset to our community. We haven't had that many Silver Knight winners. A couple of the people up here tried and didn't win. fortunately, when they were at Beach High many years ago. But that is just a recognition for all the good works you do. So we really appreciate it, and we want you to know we expect immensely great things from you. No pressure, but we're really proud of you. And to the parents and all the parents, thank you very much. This is really something special for us.
Next one is PA-9, Proclamation Officer Hicks for Assisting Victims of a Car Accident, requested by Commissioner Samuel. PA-9.
Thank you, Mayor. Being a police officer is never an easy job, and it's fair to say that during recent times, it's certainly not been easy. Sometimes we don't get to hear all the good things that our officers do in the front line, but tonight, at least in this little step, we're gonna talk about one that I think is especially special. So I want to first invite Officer Levaniel Hicks, if he could come to the microphone so we could recognize him. What's so exciting about this story goes back to 2020, and Officer Hicks was not working. Officer Hicks was off duty, and he observed a horrific accident. A good Samaritan citizen might have quickly pulled out their phone and called 911, but that's not Officer Hicks. Officer Hicks saw that someone was trying to extract someone from this accident, and he dove right into duty. And he assisted and got a woman out of a burning car to safety. That was not enough for this fine officer. He saw there were two other men trapped in the vehicle. He put on his leadership hat, organized some Good Samaritans, and saved lives on those days. His work has not gone unnoticed, and we are proud of Officer Hicks, who is the 2021 Dade Chiefs Officer of the Year, and we will add to those honors today on behalf of the Mayor and Commissioner, recognizing May 26, 2021 as Officer Levaniel Hicks Day. Congratulations, Officer.
Thank you.
Would like to say a couple words for us?
No, I'd just like to thank you for recognizing me for this. I really didn't prepare no speech. I wasn't expecting this, but as they know, I'm a very, very, very shy person. Very shy. So I just want to thank everybody that reached out to me and supported me through this whole ordeal. It was very horrific, and it still to this day, I still get emotional even thinking about that day. So I just want to thank Commissioner Simon for the proclamation and Commissioner Mercer Mayor and Chiefs and command staff. Thank you so much. And my family for supporting me through this as well. My family. Thank you so much.
That's great. Let's get a picture, and if family wants to join too.
Let's go.
No proclamations.
there's something.
You need everybody to come in. You need some people to come in. All right, let's get somebody on. Come on. You need to go over this side. Come on over here. It's all right. Come on. 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 Come
on. Come on.
Next one is PA-10, Proclamation of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, requested by Commissioner Samuelin. PA-10.
Okay. Thank you. This is round three here. We all know how critical mental illness is, but if there ever was a time that it could be more critical, I don't know what this could be. So let me invite Dr. Shustak to come to the microphone. I just want to say a couple words about the National Alliance on Mental Illness. It's the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization. 41% of adults have been experiencing severe anxiety and depression following the COVID pandemic, and this group, the Alliance, is doing such important work. As always in these national stories, there's a Miami Beach connection, and Dr. Shustak is a proud resident here in Miami Beach. She is on the board of the Miami-Dade County Group. When they do their walk for mental health, they, of course, make their way through Miami Beach as well. So on behalf of the mayor and commissioner today, we are honored to recognize May 26, 2021, as National Alliance on Mental Illness Day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so very much for this honor. I feel like kind of one of those neighbors that parks themselves on your front lawn. I sent so many emails to all of you, and you responded. I really appreciated that, by lighting up City Hall Green, by recognizing us on social media, and I really believe that as a result of your work, along with our walk, we were able to generate 98 teams, walk teams. We raised $200,000 for our volunteer programs. So I just thank you. Just want to let you know a couple words about the programs, because I think that they're so important, not just for the residents of Miami Beach, but even for the staff, people working in the city. We have many support groups in English, in Spanish. They're all free of charge. They're for peers, people recovering from mental illness, people who are family members of those who are suffering. And we work very hard on trying our best to alleviate stigma, to educate people, to empower people, and it's through that work that we, I think, make the biggest impact. And all of us, I think, would be very interested in hearing about the Ending the Silence program. The Miami-Dade schools have brought our program into all the schools to help educate students to recognize mental illness amongst their peers, to help bring those children to help before something happens. We also do an incredible amount of work in crisis intervention training for the police force. We go and speak to the police on how to approach those who have mental illness in a way that's kind and empathic. So thank you very much for your support, and I hope you'll support us again next year when we bring the walk back on Mental Health Month in May 2022. And there's no COVID then, so it'll be a big walk.
I'm sure we will, Dartha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One more, sir. PA 12, Proclamation Simply Good Pizza and Max Pierre, requested by you, Mayor.
All right. So let me tell you, first of all, it is, the month of May is an important time. It's Haitian Heritage Month, which is a time where we celebrate the Haitian community and its leaders. It highlights its culture and its traditions. And the way we thought we would do it today was through one of our local Haitian-run businesses, small businesses. And this is Max Pierre, who is the owner of Simply Good Pizza on Lincoln Road.
Yeah, Lincoln Eden. Yeah,
and it's inspired by Spike Lee's film Do the Right Thing. It aims to foster a sense of community by sourcing fresh ingredients from local farmers while raising advocacy issues and encouraging guests to donate to those in need. And Mr. Pierre is a proud Haitian immigrant, a father, a brother, a philanthropist, and a leader who strives to bring about positive change and inspire others. We love that. It fits very well with our community. We're proud to have you here. And we're also proud for the things that you do, which is why I, as mayor, and along with my commissioners, will hereby declare May 26th as Simply Good Pizza Day in recognition of your good work. Why don't you say a few words, Max, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I'm not one for a lot of words, but I just wanted to say thank you. I know I'm 5 months into this venture, but this inspiration for this venture was really about creating a platform to do good. And my first piece of property I've ever purchased was right here on South Beach. My first business I opened in 2005 was right here on South Beach. So when I made this commitment, ultimately a life decision to really bridge the idea of traditional business and service, I wanted to launch it here on South Beach. And I'm excited for what the future looks like, and I want to thank you guys for this this honor.
Well, thank you. Thank you, man. Hold on. Uh-oh. We take photos here.
Yes, sir.
Let's get to the non-fun part of the agenda.
So, Mayor, I have a couple of announcements. Vice Mayor Gongora has separated C4B, as in boy, from the consent agenda, so we need to discuss that one.
Okay, well, first, can I move for approval of the consent agenda other than the separated item?
I'll move it.
I'll second it. Show it done without objection. Okay, let's go to C4B.
One more item, sir.
I'm sorry.
We need to set the agenda. Item R5C was part of Addendum 3. It needs a 5/7 vote
okay,
to be added.
Okay, I'll take that up now, and let me just try to put it in the right posture. So R5C was late, and I typically, just so you know, I will almost always put something on the agenda without requiring. I can do that. But in this item, I didn't for the reason that I know that this has to do, and I'm going to let Commissioner Gongora speak for a moment because we're going to have to vote on whether we want to consider it or not. But the reason why I didn't, because I almost always, so you know, from any of you, if you put an item on there, I almost always will put it on the agenda. Even if I don't support it, I'll put it on so that we can hear it. The reason I didn't do this one is I know this has to do with prior noise complaints and a request for a film and production permit. And I was frankly concerned that putting something on so quickly wouldn't give the public an opportunity to be heard. So I actually was not necessarily supportive of it for that reason, when in the same day, it's really intrinsically it's about neighbors and other people in the area being able to have an opportunity to say something because they're the ones impacted by it. And I was sort of, I felt like it was so expedited that it wouldn't give people the opportunity to be heard. So I didn't want to put it on through the fiat that I'm able to use. On the other hand, I am fully prepared to give you, Commissioner Gungor, time to make your pitch to us and see if you can get five votes to put it on the agenda. Okay, so this
sure.
So this part, you can explain R5C and why you'd like, and our vote will be on whether we hear it. And then if we do hear it, if it gets 5-7's vote, then you'll be able to vote for it or against it. And what is the vote for that?
To adopt the ordinance on first reading, it would be 4-7.
Okay, so it's a 5-7's vote to be heard without having made the agenda book, and then it would be 4-7's. So if you wanted to, conceivably, you could vote to hear it and then vote against it if you didn't want it or however you choose. So, Commissioner Gungor, the floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. The reason that I put this item on is back in 2013 when I was on the commission before, we had a problem at that time on North Bay Road with one particular house that was renting their house out for videos and production shoots, Victoria's Secret shows, and all kinds of things. And I remember it now, Commissioner Libin and I actually co-sponsored and made the motion and seconded it to change our film and production permits to make them more onerous as the law exists today. Currently, if you have a violation, the law says that the city manager has no discretion to issue a film permit for a period of 1 year. And that was important back then because it was a problem. This came to my attention recently, which I thought was kind of apropos since I was one of the ones that brought the ordinance in the first place. And the reason that I place this is twofold. One, I'm supporting all of the Production Industry Council recommendations to incentivize more film and TV production. I think this is very important, and I think Commissioner Richardson and I recently co-sponsored some of those measures. What I have placed on the agenda is really rather specific and pretty neutral. What it says is that the manager cannot issue for a year. What I've placed for consideration for the commission is to give the manager the discretion whether or not to give a film permit within that first year after somebody has a violation. I think it's appropriate at this time that we're incentivizing more film uses. And number two, we've recently increased the amount of discretion that the city manager has for high-impact periods, emergency periods, closing down the city, doing emergency hours. And I feel confident that our city manager would exercise the discretion properly if she, or he, at the moment is she, were to deem it appropriate or not to issue such a permit. The reason that this came late is because I got a phone call yesterday that one of our residents got selected to be on a national TV show, The Real Housewives of Miami, and they would like to be able to film out of their house where they live with their family and children. And because they had loaned their house, as I understand it, for a music video where some musical artist actually didn't pull a permit and caused a violation to be issued, now the homeowner is prevented from filming within their own house where they live, their place of employment, essentially, because that's what they do for a living. And I know there's an affidavit from the artist that the homeowners had nothing to do with this particular violation. So I said, well, the only thing I can do as a commissioner is put something on the agenda for tomorrow. You've made me aware of this. I do recall why this film and production ordinance exists, because I was one of the people behind it. I think it's time to reconsider it and to give the manager the discretion to do so. If this body believes that it's fair to hear this tonight, and I would urge you to consider at least hearing it, whether you vote for it or vote against it, I think it would be fair to give them the opportunity to be heard. This is an ordinance that requires two readings, so tonight would not be a final action. There would be a second, and actually there's no public comment on a first reading, so there's really nobody to come out and speak on it. But I would ask if it were to pass, of course we would want to have robust outfold to the public, make sure that they were awarded due time and knowledge to know to come speak on second reading. But regardless of this specific item, I think it's time that we really look at this ordinance again because it is very onerous and restrictive, and I think that we should consider changing it to give the manager discretion in situations like this to exercise her discretion.
Okay, so we're only going to discuss whether we receive it or not. This is not on the merits of it. Does anyone want to be heard on it? Commissioner Minor.
Just a clarification question, because when I spoke with legal today, my understanding was that there was some sense of urgency about the filming happening already next week. But I guess I'm confused about that, because if there's two readings required, the law wouldn't be changed in time for that anyway. So I don't know if anybody wants to address that.
I could address
hold on,
that.
Hold on. Let me get. I want to keep this among the commissioners and the staff. So our attorney can, I think.
Mayor, that's that. Right. So if you amend the ordinance, the amended ordinance would not take effect until it's approved on second reading. This is ultimately, it is part of the code. It is an administrative procedure that is internal to the city and ultimately is at the commission's discretion. So what you can do, even though the amended ordinance would not be in effect until second reading, if you passed it on first reading and there's legislative intent to make this change, then you could provide there could be a motion to support the manager in issuing a temporary conditional permit between first and second reading if the manager finds that it's in the best interest to issue the permit and if the permittee satisfies all the requirements for obtaining a permit and any additional requirements that the manager may wish to impose. It's technically it is in the code and it's not in effect until second reading, but it is ultimately at our discretion, given that this is an internal administrative procedure.
So in essence, we could be passing something today that our residents haven't had an opportunity to hear and have input on.
You could, except that the film guidelines themselves require resident signatures for residents within that are impacted. I believe it's a 200 feet radius. So at least, you know, the requirements of the film guidelines would still have to otherwise be satisfied.
Yeah. Anyone else want to be heard?
Right. Just to answer that, because they do have – one of the conditions would be that if the manager were to decide to issue a conditional permit in her discretion, they have to get the neighbors to sign off on it. So it's not the same as second reading, but the neighbors that live in the neighborhood would have to be okay with it.
Commissioner Samuels.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to support the item on the table, which is whether we should hear it or not. I think the question is, do we want to hear this? And I'm going to support it tonight. I think the point is that the residents would get notice. I believe there is some time sensitivity. This would be first reading. Whether the item passes or not is a separate discussion. But I also will err when one of my colleagues puts something on the agenda and believe we should hear it. I see no harm in that, so I'm going to be supporting the motion to hear the item.
Anyone else? The only thing I'd like to know is, and I don't know if Hernan is here, or from our code department, which is obviously relevant, but is he here or is he on Zoom?
It's Zoom, sir.
Okay, can we get Hernan up?
Yep. Hernan, unmute yourself.
Yeah, the only reason I...
Okay, I'm here.
Hernan, are you there?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay. My first instinct was to just put it on the agenda because I put everything on, but the concern I had with the amount of not doing it was just the volume of complaints that seemed to have come from the property. And Hernan, could Hernan at least give us that? Because that, to me, is a reason not to put it on, because I think if there have been people complaining about the property and the property has numerous violations, I think before we act and hear it, we would want to give those folks a chance to be heard. So, Hernan, what's the history on this?
So, Mayor, going back to January 1st of 2020, it looks like we've had 29 calls for service. That includes noise complaints and commercial activities. We've had, let's see here. It looks like six violations, all for noise. And then we had the one violation for conducting the photo shoot without a permit. All of those cases have been settled or paid, except for two noise violations that remain in appeal status.
Okay. Thanks, Hernan. Anyone have any questions from Hernan? Yes. So for me, whether or not that really wasn't the issue for me on the substantive, that's if we should amend this to give the manager discretion, that's something we should or shouldn't do based on the merits. My concern was when you have almost 30 complaints over a year period and a handful of violations, maybe some of those people would want to have an opportunity to be heard, and I don't know that sufficiently they would be, or if there are other people, frankly, who hadn't made a complaint but want to be heard. So I would typically always support this, but I just felt like on such an expedited time frame, especially given the fact that the intention is to actually allow it to happen, I'm pretty certain we'd hear from dozens of residents who would say, your process was pretty flawed because I didn't get a chance to call in and tell you what I think. And I would like to know that. So I'm going to be down on it, but obviously if five of you want to, we'll hear it. Commissioner Minor.
Yeah, and thank you for that information, Hernan. To me, it's bigger than just the two neighbors that surround this property, because I've actually received complaints in different neighborhoods, so not related to this property, that why is the city granting film permits when the property has had multiple violations? So I think it's a bigger issue. It's sending a message that we are willing to tolerate that type of behavior and then overlooking it. And I'm concerned, and I thank Rafael Legal explaining that it potentially we could be acting today, depending on how it goes, but we could be acting in a way today that would actually grant them the right to do this even before our second reading. And since this was put on today, and it seems like no fault to the sponsor, he just found out about it as well, so there's no fault there, but I think we put ourselves in peril of how our process looks and the ability of our residents to voice their opinion.
And Commissioner Richardson, then Commissioner Areola, and then Commissioner Steinberg. Everybody gets to speak.
Thank you, Mayor. I too am concerned about the late notice, and that's no fault to you, Commissioner Vice Mayor Gongora. I know you're just got notice of it, but it seems like there have been a number of complaints, and I would like to know a lot more about the nature of those complaints. The other thing for me is that if it were heard, I feel like I would be at a disadvantage for being in a position to rule on it and act on it because, you know, I don't know the history of this ordinance. I appreciate that you've put it in perspective, but I don't know what other municipalities are doing. I don't know what's the standard, the industry standard. So I feel like I would be at a disadvantage to offer my perspective because I just haven't had the chance to study it, so I'm gonna be down on hearing this tonight. Thank you,
Commissioner Areola, then Commissioner Steinberg.
Yeah, I'm definitely willing to hear it for purpose of just the debate because I do think it's an important policy for us to relook at because I think all of us support the film and TV industry. I think we've all taken positions on that, and I think law of unintended consequences. We may have something on our books that will harm the ability of certain film and TV and videos to be filmed here if a property has a previous violation for whatever reason. It could be, this applies to commercial and residential, right? I mean, so if a hotel, for example, has a violation, call it the Fountain Blue, they can't get a permit for a year.
And I'll defer to Marcia if she can answer that. But generally, though, the permits are required for filming on public property or in zoned residential areas. So if it's on a commercial property, Marcia, do you have
this rule only applies to residential properties? Residential properties, you have a 1 year cease. We can't issue a permit for 1 year if you are issued a violation for filming without a permit. But it's only on residential properties.
Okay. Yeah. Still, I still think this is an important policy for us to consider. We've got some of the most magnificent homes in the country, and it's becoming, it's becoming more and more of a popular place for people to be moving to. I think we can expect, you know, people to want to film, and we should have discretion whether we, you know, want to encourage that or not. And I think this is probably too broad of a piece of legislation and, you know, law of unintended consequences. We are now possibly hurting a production that may, you know, be, you know, useful to us at some time in the future to promote our fine city.
Commissioner Steinberg.
Yeah, no, similar to Commissioner Samulin, the issue itself, separate, I'm not sure how I feel about the issue, and I didn't even realize it was about a specific, that the impetus was a specific situation or residential area, but I think it's a worthy discussion to talk about our film and production permits in general and to better understand them. So you don't have the five because three spoke not wanting to hear it tonight, but I was supportive of just at least beginning the conversation. I don't think it may have gone where it ultimately you would like it to go, but I think it was worthy of the discussion. Because there's a lot of information we do need to understand and get from this, but I think the more opportunities we have to speak about these things, the better we can create policies that make sense, that, you know, in theory and in practicality work. And they're always worth looking at and making sure we are, you know, truly understanding the essence of what it is we're trying to do. And so I am fine starting the conversation and hearing out this item because I'm not even sure where we want to go with this item, but it doesn't sound like there's support for that tonight. But so what would be the next step? And I do want to hear from administration as well, of course.
Hey, Alina.
Well, I found out about this issue last night, and, you know, from what I've read, the restriction and the, I like Commissioner Richardson said, I don't know the legislative history of the intent, but the intent was clearly very restrictive. So there must have been situations that it was positioned to address. It's rare to find legislation that speaks to the city manager must. It really doesn't give any option, and so therefore there really is no flexibility. I certainly don't have any problems with delegated authority to myself, and I don't want that to be misinterpreted to mean that I will accept or ignore conditions that exist with a particular property. As has been described with this particular property. I think that from my perspective, we're here to help the film industry. We have an office dedicated to doing that. And so to the extent that we can look for options and another property where this filming could perhaps continue, we certainly are open to doing that. But, you know, at this point, I'm really not prepared to comment much more than that. I don't know enough about the history of this legislation.
And thank you, Madam Manager. And Commissioner Gongora, if it's on an agenda, I think I made it clear. It's just that the number of complaints would seem to me make it that we ought to make sure people could have the availability to be heard. So if you put it on the next agenda, I may ultimately support it. I just, right now, I don't want to procedurally keep it from being heard keep people from being heard about it. So it looks to me like, Commissioner Minor, you have a...
Just one last point, yeah, and I think it is worthy of a discussion, so I actually would like to hear it, and I'm sort of going to echo what Commissioner Richardson said. It's a really good point, and I've actually made this a few times, and again, no fault of yours, Vice Mayor, here. You obviously just found out about this, but it does make it difficult, and there are items that do get added on late, very late in the game, and it makes it difficult for a number of reasons. One, there's a tremendous amount of research and due diligence that I do. I'm sure my colleagues do as well. It makes it difficult to do all that when it comes on in the last minute, and then there's also obviously trying to hear from stakeholders, business stakeholders, residents, and it just makes our job that much harder. And in this case, I think it is worthy of a discussion, but what legal told me is really important because, as Commissioner Richardson said, we may be making a decision today. We even had the opportunity to explore that, and yet it could be implemented literally based on our decision today, and that's just problematic for me.
Okay, Commissioner Richardson, and we're going to close it down.
Thank you for recognizing me. I just want to add, I too want to hear the item, and I hope the sponsor will bring it on the next meeting. You know, in terms of getting the facts, I was listening to your words, Vice Mayor Gongora, and You said that the owner loaned the property. You used the word loan the property. And someone called me today earlier and said the owner rented the property. And I see that as a difference. So, you know, I hope that you will bring the item. I'd love to. And I hope that we can get a clarification on that. But I'm anxious to hear it. I think if our restriction is onerous, we should change it. And I'll look forward to a recommendation from the administration.
Okay, so it looks to me like at least three of us. Should I take a roll call, or can I just? Oh, Commissioner Gongora, I'm sorry. Go ahead if you want to close on it and make.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. First and foremost, regardless of what happens tonight, I intend to pursue the legislation because the legislation that's before you is good legislation. We shouldn't be restricting the city so onerously at this time with what we do with production. Back then, I think that it was perhaps an overkill, and I also have the benefit of having been on the commission when this ordinance passed. So I attended the committee meetings. It was before the Neighborhoods Committee, I think, at that time. I sat through all of this and ultimately voted for it. But this legislation was what happens sometimes in local government. There was one particular home on North Bay Road that was problematic, and that association came forward, and this ordinance resulted out of that. Now, 8 years later, we're trying to incentivize film production, and this doesn't even give our city manager the discretion to explore and look into things on a case-by-case basis and see if they might be good for our city. So it takes away from and is certainly against incentivizing the film and production industry. So number one, I will keep it on the agenda regardless of what happens because it's a good piece of legislation. Number two, yes, I became aware of this last night around the time that I was talking to our city manager. So I didn't have the benefit of putting it on any sooner than I did. I really want to thank the city attorney for working so quickly to put together something that could get on the agenda for you all to consider. The reason that I thought it was important that we do it today is twofold. Number one, it's one, as I understand it, it's one violation that's preventing this homeowner from doing this. It's not noise violations, it's a film. You can't violate the film ordinance. And according to an affidavit that's been filed with the city that I've been privy to, they loaned their house to a musical artist that filmed a music video and took responsibility for the violation, paid the violation. Apparently that violation didn't have anything to do with the owners, but because it's on their house, even though now they've been selected for the Real Housewives of Miami, where they want to be able to film a show about them in their own house where they live, that's their employment, because that music video was shot there, it prevents them from doing it. They can shoot at the Fountain Blue, as Commissioner Areola says. They could go and borrow the Estefan's extra home in Star Island and shoot there. They could go shoot anywhere except the house that they live in. So it seems very weird. It just seems very unusual. And I don't think that was the intent. Certainly it wasn't my intent in 2013 when I voted on the ordinance. And that's why I put it on.
Thank you.
Mayor Beller, can I?
Okay. No, if it's not going to be an issue, I'm not going to have the debate. So three, anyone else want to represent the board? I don't think I need, do I need to take a vote? Yes, I think.
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right, so let's do it, raise your hands, or why don't you do a roll call just so
roll
we
call?
Know.
Commissioner Areola.
Yes.
Commissioner Richardson.
No.
Commissioner Samuelin.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Gongora.
Yes.
Commissioner Miner.
No.
Commissioner Steinberg. Correct. Yes? Mayor Gelber?
No.
Motion fails.
Okay. All right, let's get back to the agenda.
Can I ask the clerk then, please carry it over to the next agenda.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Mayor. Okay, let's
that
go.
That was just to hear the actual item tonight.
Right.
Okay.
Item is will be on the next agenda, and it'll require 4-7's vote on first reading. Okay, let's get to R5. Let's go to C4B. This was my item on the Sabrina Cohen Foundation agreement. Was separated by Commissioner Gongora. Commissioner, it's a referral. But what do you like to say about it?
Right. I just had a question because this came before us at the last commission meeting about directing a $2 million payment from one of the developments, and I pulled it last time for the same reason. I'm not sure what the intent is because it's a referral and it's somewhat vague, but I did want to say if it is the same item to direct a $2 million from a development or direct funding from the city, then I wouldn't be in favor of an earmark to one project. I think the Finance Committee should consider all of the city projects that are presently underfunded, and I don't think one project should be put above others. So if it's about adding it to the list for consideration of city funding, I'm fine with that, but I'm not in favor of directing or earmarking specific funding to anybody.
Honestly, I'm not sure what anyone from the administration can help me. I think it's just going to finance. I don't know. What is the item actually?
I believe that the referral was tied to the fact that the existing agreement with the foundation is outdated. It is still in force, but it is outdated. The program and the project has grown, and so there was a concern on the part of our staff to make sure that the agreement was brought up to date and that all the relationships were clearly identified. They are in the process of doing fundraising for a new component of the program, and it was our hope that all of those relationships could be clarified.
Okay. And obviously, my understanding is the referral will not require an amount of money. It'll just simply send it to finance to deal with the issues that the manager has explained. I don't know if it has more than that, but I was advised when I put it on the agenda that the Sabrina Cohen Foundation has expanded. In fact, it's got some funding from the county now, and in fact, other elements to it, and that they wanted to get a chance to look at it again. And I think the Finance Committee can decide if whatever wants to do with it. And then, of course, we'll have to decide again if we agree with the Finance Committee. So with that, does anyone object? Commissioner Gore, do you still object?
No, I feel comfortable. As long as it's not a direct earmark of money, I'm fine.
No, I have a question on a different consent item, Mayor, if you'll allow me. I didn't pull it, but...
Let me take care of this one first.
Yes, sir.
All right, so any objection to the C4B being referred to finance? Show no objection. Have it done. Commissioner Richardson, you're recognized, even though I think we might have already passed the agenda.
We did.
I'll give you leave to speak about it.
We did. It's just that I can't speak to my colleagues outside of the sunshine. So I just had a question for Commissioner Gongora, and that is on the C4C, the funding for gay pride. I don't know if you're planning to come to finance, so you can share with us your thoughts. If you want to share your thoughts publicly, I don't know if you're looking for a specific amount of funding or if there. I know this year the celebration has been pushed out to another month. So, and again, because I can't speak with you privately, I'm just asking the question if you want to share with all of us if you have specific thoughts.
Sure. I would be happy to come to that meeting and participate. Gay Pride has received funding from the city of Miami Beach ever since its inception. Right. And in 2019, they actually received more money. We did an enhancement. I think it was Commissioner Areola that sponsored it, and I think I ended up co-sponsoring with him to give them an enhancement of funds. Because of the pandemic, I think their budgeting was cut back from the city, and the methodology in which Gay Pride was funded was changed, and they became aware of that recently. And they spoke to the administration, my office spoke to the administration, and they suggested that I put it back on the agenda and we go back to Finance Committee to see how much money they needed, what monies are available from the city because the pandemic threw their budget off. So that's why I put it on.
Perfect. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay, let's get to the agenda, the regular agenda. Let's begin. Let's call R5A.
R5A is an ordinance of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, amending the Code of the City of Miami Beach, Subpart B, entitled Land Development Regulations by amending Chapter 114 of the City Code, entitled General Provisions, at Section 114-1, Definition, to create a definition for retail fulfillment centers, amending Chapter 142, entitled Zoning Districts and Regulations, Article 2, entitled District Regulations, Division 5, entitled CD2, Commercial Medium Intensity District, at Section 142-302, entitled Main Permitted Uses, to amend the list of permitted uses, amending Division 6, entitled CD3, Commercial High Intensity District, at Section 142-332, entitled Main Permitted Uses, to amend the list of permitted uses, at Section 142-335, entitled Prohibited Uses, to amend the list of prohibited uses for properties with a lot line on Lincoln Road between Collins Avenue and Alton Road, and amending Article 3 entitled Overlay District, Division 12, entitled Art Deco, at Section 142-870.11, entitled Compliance with Regulations, to amend the list of regulated uses for properties in the Overlay District, providing for codification, repealer, severability, codification, and effective date. This is a first reading public hearing. The item requires a 5-7 vote.
Okay, Commissioner, what's your pleasure?
Thank you, Mayor, for recognizing me. So we haven't heard this as a body other than the referral that went to land use. So what I'd like to do is just spend a couple of minutes sort of framing where we are and how we got here on this item, because I'm sure you've gotten a lot of emails the last couple of days, as I have, some more pleasant and welcoming than others. So how did we get here, and what are we trying to accomplish? It's interesting. Somebody said yesterday at the planning, why are we trying to rush this through? Actually, I've been working on this for 5 months with the great assistance of staff, and I appreciate all the help, Tom. So where are we? How did we get here? So about 5 months ago, I was contacted that there was an issue on a potential new business opportunity in North Beach. There's a company called GoPuff that has more than 200 locations throughout the United States, one of the fastest growing companies in the United States. And they have a sort of a hybrid business model, but staff believed that they looked and smelled more like a convenience store than anything else. But because of some of the changes that have occurred in our zoning to take care of some other issues that we've had, including on Ocean Drive, the Harding Town site only allows for one convenience store. This is the area around 73rd to 75th. And we looked at whether or not it could be called a retail, but it really couldn't. So in that town site, there can only be one convenience store. And right now there's a CVS store that qualifies as both a pharmacy and a convenience store. So for that reason, this business was unable to execute on the lease. So there's been an option on a lease for several months now. And the company is getting close to losing that option, or unless the landlord would extend it, in which case the property would remain vacant and without any rental opportunity. So working with staff, we looked at different business models, because this business model is new and innovative. And I say new and innovative. GoPuff is not new and innovative, but traditionally their business opportunity is to locate their place of business in an industrial area, abutting a residential community, so that they can do quick deliveries. So what they do is take in orders over their app, and there are other companies that do this. It's just GoPuff is the one that is trying to do the lease and establish a business in our city. So because we don't have an industrial area in our city, they've had to come up with a new business model. Now, they had the same approach in Coral Gables. Coral Gables, too, did not have an industrial area. So they worked and created a new structure in Coral Gables that required them to have a storefront, because you don't want to have a warehouse in a commercial district. So they've been working for several months in Coral Gables. That store is probably 6 to 8 weeks away from being opened. And as part of that, they're required to have a retail center. So just like Coral Gables, I didn't want to propose to this body that we would have storefronts that are empty in a commercial. So we crafted with staff a requirement that the entire storefront area would be required to be open to the public. We don't expect there would be a lot of retail activity in terms of walk-in, but there could. And so there would not be any paper over windows, and it wouldn't be a warehouse on the front-facing part of the street. So that's how we got here. We got here because there was already a convenience store in the Harding town site. And so in looking at trying to find a way that we could make this business work in that area, I also said, let's address this citywide, because this is a new business model that's being created all over the country, and let's try to get our zoning. And so with Tom's help, we created this fulfillment center zoning, and that's what has proposed. Now, it went to land use. It passed land use unanimously. It went to planning board. A couple of members in particular were very, very concerned about the item and raised all sorts of concerns about certain items that that would be sold by this company. And so the concerns on the items that were raised, it was interesting because I looked on Amazon Prime, and I can order all of those things and have them delivered to my front door. So I even had an email today from somebody representing another liquor store, because they do sell wine and beer. They're not planning to sell wine and beer in the front, in the walk-in section, but they will deliver it if you want to order and have them deliver. I had an email today which I felt disturbing. It was disturbing in that it was somebody representing a liquor store saying, we don't need another liquor store. They should buy liquor from me. But I don't feel like we're in the business of picking winners and losers. We should allow businesses to operate in a free and open market. By the way, there's a liquor store on Alton Road a couple of blocks from my apartment in Flamingo Park that you can call them up and they'll deliver hard liquor to your home with no question. So all of these services are being provided today, and I was quite surprised by some of the comments I heard in planning, and in particular the way they were expressed. Now, having said all that, and I had a couple of emails today where people saying, why do you want to put this in Sunset Harbor? I don't know how Sunset Harbor even got into the conversation. It was never the intent. This is one site in North Beach, not Sunset Harbor. But having said all that, it's clear that more work needs to be done on educating all of us and with the intent on this item. And I don't want to take the time tonight with my colleagues, because I value your time. And so with your permission, Mr. Mayor, I would like to defer this item until the next regular meeting in where I'd like to have it vetted and get the public to hear it, and we can hear more from land use and the unanimous support that we had there. So is that okay with you, sir?
Well, I think I have to ask. I'm sure it's okay with me. Is it open and continued? What's the operative?
It is open and continued.
Okay, show it open and continued.
Happy
to do that. Thank you.
And thank you for giving me the time to put on the record what I can't say to my colleagues privately, just to sort of frame how we got here and where we're going. Thank you.
No problem. Happy to do it, and I think probably the public benefited from it. Okay, let's go to R5B.
R5B is an ordinance of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, amending the Land Development Regulations of the Code of the City of Miami Beach by amending Chapter 142, Zoning Districts and Regulations, Article 2, District Regulations, Division 3, Residential Multifamily District, Subdivision 5, RM3, Residential Multifamily High Intensity, Section 142, 246, Development Regulations and Area Requirements, to create additional regulations regarding ground floor additions, and by amending Article 4, Supplementary District Regulations, Division 5, Height Regulations, Section 142-1161, Height Regulations Exemptions, to create additional regulations regarding rooftop additions for properties located in the Architectural District, providing for repealer, codification, severability, and an effective date. This is a
second reading public hearing. Okay, we're on second reading, so you've heard it. Tom, you want to, Commissioner Earle, can I have Tom just cue it up real fast? Go ahead, Tom.
Sure. This item was approved unanimously at first reading on May 12th, and it has not changed since then. And it basically makes some changes to the land development regulations of the city code as it pertains to allowable rooftop additions for lots in the architectural district that do not front on Collins Avenue. It allows for rooftop additions as well as ground level additions to match the height of that rooftop addition. the administration recommends approval. And if you have any specific questions regarding legislation, I'd be happy to answer them.
You had me at last meeting. It was unanimous. Anyone? Let's go to the public hearing. Anybody want to be heard? All right. Oh, someone's coming up.
And, sir, there's no one in Zoom.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Okay. Let's hear.
Good evening. Carter McDowell, Bills and Sundberg, here supporting the ordinance. I'm here with my colleague, Carly Grimm. We represent BHI Miami Limited Corp., the owner of the 121st Street, which is the Seagull Hotel. We're honored to be here supporting the ordinance. It is not our ordinance. It is the city's ordinance. We are also seeking approval in another item of the roadway vacation, which we did apply for. This ordinance will apply to any property that doesn't front on Collins Avenue in the architectural district. It is directly supportive of a project that my clients are trying to produce, the Bulgari Miami Beach, which will, as you've heard before, be the first Bulgari in the United States. It will allow Miami Beach to join cities such as Milan, London, Beijing, Shanghai, Bali, Dubai, Paris, Rome, Moscow, and Tokyo. Pretty great company to join as hosts of a Bulgari hotel. As importantly, this supports everything that this commission has been trying to do about elevating guest experience in Miami Beach. This project will literally take a Days Inn project and convert it into a five-star luxury product. We're excited to bring it. I'd like to, we do have a short presentation, and you've heard this, but I want to repeat it because I think it's important. It's come here with unanimous support from Land Use Sustainability, Finance and Economic Resiliency, the Historic Preservation Board, the Planning Board, the City Commission on First Reading. It has the support of the Collins Park Neighborhood Association, the Miami Beach Chamber of Commerce, the Greater Miami Beaches and Hotel Association, and the Miami Design Preservation League. Literally, the only opposition is coming from our neighbor, the Satay. I'd like to, if you will indulge me, address some of the issues that they have raised, both in writing and in the last hearing, and so that maybe we can move this forward a little more quickly. We do have a presentation. I would ask that the presentation be...
How long is the presentation? Is this the one we heard last time?
No, it's going to take me a couple minutes. I want to show you the images.
At the same time, so
I'm 41 seconds so far.
Yeah, you got. I'm going to add.
Now I'm 36 seconds. Oh, it's running
we'll
down.
We'll give you more.
Okay. So ahead. If the presentation could be put up. Okay. So this is the context. I assume you can see it. The blue box shows the seagull. On the bottom right is the W Hotel, and behind us to the south and to the west is the Thai property. It's a single property. You may hear that it's not, but it is a single property with a single tax folio number. Next slide. This slide actually shows why we're here. The pink box is the Seagull Hotel. It is the last oceanfront building in the north part of the architectural district. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to take this down because it's really hard for me to hear myself. Anyway, despite the fact that the Satay had already been built, this property was designated within the architectural district. What that did is it cut the FAR available on this property from 3 to 2. It prohibited rooftop additions, which is why the ordinance is before you, and it severely limits the ability to develop this property. It does allow us to build the southern addition and the eastern addition, although they would be shorter, and this ordinance will allow us a little more space to do that. Had we not been included, if the red line had moved just to the south of us, we would have an FAR of 3. We would be allowed to build 120 feet. We would not be before you. It is the restrictions that have applied to just this property that cause us to be before you. Next slide. This shows the FAR of the properties around us. The W Hotel to the north is 2.99. The Satay is 4.24, immediately abutting us. The Shore Club is 3. The Shelburne which is behind the, is 3.24, I believe, 3.32, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. The Satay is 893 feet tall. The W is 200 feet tall. All of the properties around us have more development rights than we do solely because we were included within the architectural district. You've heard from the Satay in writing that this ordinance is spot zoning. It's not spot zoning. It doesn't rezone a single piece of property. It changes some development regulations. In fact, if there is anything, it is spot zoning in reverse. We have been deprived of the same rights that all the properties around us are entitled to, and this ordinance, along with roadway vacation that you'll hear later, are simply steps to address that inequity that has been imposed on this property by being the last building in the north edge of the architectural district. So if anything, there are spot zoning in reverse, which is detrimental to us. Next slide. This shows the existing condition with a Satay Art Deco building in the foreground, the Satay Tower, oceanfront tower in the background, and the seagull on the left. The next slide, please. This is the condition that existed prior to the construction of the Satay. You see the seagull at the top of the picture running out to the beach. You see the original Art Deco building of the Satay on the left, and the property to our south was vacant. The Satay tower was built in 2002. It was vacant until they began construction. Next slide. The Satay construction obliterated all of our views to the south. And they built, not only did they obliterate the view, they built a 107-foot tall garage, which is what our entire south facade faces. Yet they are claiming that we are blocking their view. Next slide. And to add injury to insult, not only did they build a 107-foot tall garage that we face 100% on our south side, they put a finish on the north side of the garage facing 20th Street, and they turned their backside to us with no architectural character at all. The Satay has claimed that the ordinance will take their private property rights because we are going to block their views. It's an absurd claim and one that you need to think through. They have claimed that there is a 2007 ordinance that gave them the right to have an unrestricted view across our private property.
Let's bring it in.
Okay, Mayor. If you think about that, the absurdity of that is they're saying a city ordinance intentionally granted them an easement across our property. You not only didn't, you don't have the authority to do that. If you had, it would be a taking of our property rights. As the construction of the Satay itself clearly demonstrates, there is no right to light and air in view. If there was, they wouldn't have been able to build their project. And in effect, they are arguing that that 2007 ordinance delegated authority for them to tell us what we could do with our property. Clearly absurd. It's an absurd argument. I'd like to very quickly show you what we are not doing to their view, and then we'll run through these slides very quickly. Next slide. This shows the scale of the two buildings together. Next slide. This shows that our project, even with our rooftop addition, will be shorter than their garage. Next slide. The view that they say that we're blocking, their rooms are 1,000 feet from the ocean, 3 football fields away from the ocean, but we're blocking their view. Next slide. These are accurate drone shots taken on the private alley in front of their building at the third, fourth, and fifth levels. you can see that there is no view of the ocean at all from those levels. It's only at the top levels above this that you, and this is accurately done with their building permit drawings and the heights of their floors. There is no view of the ocean at all below the fifth floor. Next slide. I'm going to show you what the view does, and I hope you can see it without the wording over top of it, because it's really blocking most of the presentation. So this is the northernmost room that faces the ocean in their building. This is after our construction. They'll still have views of the ocean from that room. Next slide.
You got 15 seconds. Okay.
This is the next room down. Next room down. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. We affect their view. We never block their view completely, despite their arguments to the contrary.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, anyone else want to be heard? Come on. I like all my residents. I like all the residents.
Good evening.
Your name, please.
I'm in favor of the hotel. However, his arguments made me rather upset. So what he's saying is we're the last hotel in that district. But then when he gets his rights, it becomes the next one, and the next one, and the next one. So it's a domino effect. So I don't really like that argument whatsoever. additionally, please, as a board, follow the laws of the city. The laws of the city is a charter amendment for a reason. And vacating streets, it shows that the city doesn't follow the law. And that, you know, we don't have law in the streets, but we should have law in our city government. And I would vote for it, but that those laws are there for a reason, and that it should be on the ballot come November. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Hold on. Let's go.
You want public people?
Here's what I'm doing. This passed unanimously on first reading, but I'm letting the parties. You represent Satai?
I represent the Dempsey Vanderbilt, which is a hotel on Collins Avenue, which units are separate and distinct folios from the Satai, contrary to what Mr. Carter.
I'm just trying to figure out who is on the other side, because I'm going to give you more time. Are you the party that he was?
I'm an advocate against parts of this proposal.
Okay, but because I'm going to give somebody more time because he took a good amount of time. I'm assuming there was someone who he was referring to. You represent those units that claim to have a blocked view?
I represent the association, and I have Mr. Bradley Gould, who's here, and represent the individual unit owners and the hotel entity.
I just wanted to give more time. I'm going to give you more time, but I urge you to
read the room. I also have a presentation. But could I first go into the 2007 ordinance, which is a critical ordinance? And
okay, so before we start, I'm going to give 11 minutes, which is what the other gentleman had.
Sure.
Thank you. The 2007 ordinance was passed when Matty Bauer was the mayor. What that ordinance did was it allowed the building of ground-level additions in the architectural district. Before that time, all ground-level additions were prohibited. Once that ordinance was passed, it passed under special conditions because everybody was concerned considering how built out the architectural district was that if ground level additions are inserted into the area, it would interfere with established view corridors. And those established view corridors were explicitly protected in the language of this ordinance. That ordinance has a number of protections. And we're willing to give up on some of those protections, but we do not want to give up on the one that Matty Bauer and the commission at that time insisted upon. And that was that the proposed addition shall not substantially reduce existing or establish view corridors. That's the language. Substantially reduce existing or establish view corridors. That's what the language was, and that was what the Historic Preservation Board had its directions when it would approve any project on a site within the architectural district. With that condition, they began to allow having ground floor additions. The Satay was built, was approved about 1997 and built over a 4 or 5 year period afterwards, about 2003, 2004. It was completed. It was composed of two sections. One was the tower, which we all know about and we all see. And then there is the Dempsey Vanderbilt. That's a 1935 Art Deco hotel. It's 8 stories. It's had substantial problems in it, so it had to be reconstructed almost in its entirety to rebuild it. It's deemed a contributing building. That was all done in the early 2000s. My client and the Cash family that came in there, my clients and the association and the Cash family came in and purchased those units, Dempsey Vanderbilt. They purchased it with this protection in place. And a number of the units in the back of the building, in fact, have view corridors. I'd like to have my presentation put up to explain what that view corridor looks like. And while we're waiting for that, I want to make it clear that the owner of the property that will become the Bulgari did not purchase the property until 2019. Knowing that the Satay was a tall building, knowing that their building faced the garage, knowing about these existing property rights that my client had. So let's go through. Let's go to the next page. This is the building. Next page. Dempsey Vanderbilt. Okay, right here. This is the view that can be seen from the 03 and 04 lines. This is about the sixth floor looking out the window. That's what you see when you're facing right at the window, and that's what you look out. How do I know that? I was the one who took that photograph. Next photo. Next slide. Okay, so this is what you see. If you blow it up, that's what you see. But the reality is that other image is what you actually see when you look out the window. It's a heck of a view. Could we go back one time? That's a view. Okay, let's advance. Once again, please. Okay. Now, if this building is built, depending on which line you are, you have part of the view blocked, you have more of the blue view blocked, and you have a substantial portion of the view blocked. What we're trying to do is prevent the blocking of the views. And I told Carter that we're willing to compromise. Just as long as we get the fifth floor and up, we're fine. It's the fifth, sixth, seventh. What they're trying to do is, their business model is to build units in that same area so they can have ocean views. So the question is do you recognize our rights that were in the ordinance that were put into place by this commission in 2007, or you do take those rights away and give it to the other property owner who knew of the situation when they purchased it, who could afford everything. I mean, they paid $120 million for the property. They could afford it. They knew what was happening. And all we're asking for is you keep this language, this one clause in place. They're going to be able to go up probably 4 or 5 stories, as they showed, the first 3 or 4 already blocked. But above that, they should not be allowed to go in that little narrow area. Could you go to the next slide? Let me show what we're really talking about. Okay, move on. Next slide. Next slide. Okay, so this is from the massing diagram that was actually provided by the applicant, by the developer, in the HBB and in the planning board. And if you look at it, the first one on the upper left is what the massing of the of the current building is, of the Siegel. And then you can show that they remove a corner, they add, they're going to be allowed to put rooftop additions on the main building. We're not objecting to that. That's one of the things they're going to secure from this ordinance. They're going to be allowed to put additional height greater than what the existing ordinance is as far as rooftop additions. That's shown in the next image. And it's all going to be placed on that area. The only thing we have a problem with is that yellow portion right there. And we don't even have a problem with the entire part of that portion. We have a problem with the fifth floor and up. I believe that's eight floors. We have a problem with the fifth to eighth floor. What we're asking, and this still has to go to the HPB, it has to be considered by the HPB, is to consider whether that will substantially interfere with existing view corridors. So when we go before the HPB, we would have to show that we have this view corridor, that it's been established, that it is established and recognized. And then at that point, we would then make the argument about how high they should go. If you take away that, we don't have a guarantee to protect our view corridor at this point in time. So that's what this is all about. Next slide. Next slide. That's all we're talking about is the proposed eight-story ground floor addition. All we're asking is for that to be only four or five stories. If you keep that one section in that we're complaining about being removed, that would solve the problem. And we would support the project 100% after that. You wouldn't hear from us. We wouldn't file lawsuits. Ken Harrison Robbins wouldn't do his thing before the Historic Preservation Board. We wouldn't have litigation, appeals, or anything else. We'd let this project go. And all the other issues, we'd allow them to have their CUPs, which are now banned, but this ordinance would allow them to have CUPs. We'd allow them to have their penthouse on their main building. We'd allow all those things. We wouldn't challenge it. But we will challenge this whole thing if we lose this particular right, because it is a property right. My clients believe in their property rights, and as members of this board should protect property rights, especially when they're put into place to protect the historic resources of the architectural district. I will want to come back when we talk about the vacating of the street, but that's a separate and distinct resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to be heard? Okay, we're back to the normal minutes. I assume you don't have a long presentation.
No. Hi, everyone. I'm Wendy Kalurgis. I think you all know me well. I can take this off. Good. Thank you. President and CEO of the Greater Miami and the Beaches Hotel Association. And before I speak about the significance of having Bulgari with us, I want to thank all of you, because I haven't seen you in person, for all that you did for our hotels, our industry, myself, my association. We couldn't have done it without you, and we really appreciate fire, police, emergency management, Mount Sinai, who actually, one of my dear friends was there for 63 days with COVID and was saved. His life was saved. We're happy to have Alina in her new role, and just want to thank you, because I don't want to just talk about, I wanted to really, because I'm seeing all of you together, which is great. And the city attorney's office is fabulous. We know that. So on behalf of the Greater Miami and the Beaches Hotel Association, we want to congratulate the city of Miami Beach for being selected with the Bulgari Hotel. Miami Beach is the first city in the Americas to be selected for a Bulgari Hotel. The hotel will support approximately 320 jobs. Bulgari is a luxury brand that correlates nicely with our Forbes Travel Guide hospitality training in partnership with the Miami Beach Visitor and Convention Authority. Presently, Forbes Travel Guide has 6 Bulgari-rated hotels across the globe. 2 are 4-star rated and 4 are 5-star rated. Our partner, Lourdes Hanlon, VP of Partner Services for Florida, Caribbean, Mexico, and South America, writes, Forbes Travel Guide is a global authority in the luxury hospitality industry and independently selects and evaluates qualified properties for the opportunity to earn a recommended 4-star or 5-star rating. A hotel that earns a FTG star rating is considered to be one of the finest properties in the world. I remember years ago when I was working in hotels, we did not have one luxury hotel in Miami-Dade County. We now have 26, so we're looking forward to working with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for all you've done.
Oh, and the Miami Beach Chamber of Commerce.
Good evening, Mayor Gelber and Commissioners. I'm Robin Jacobs. I'm speaking on behalf of Miami Beach Chamber of Commerce this evening. I'm here with Dean John Stewart and Women's Business Council Chair Deanne Connolly Graham. We want to thank you for this opportunity to speak with you to support the approval of the proposed code amendments and street vacation with regard to the Bulgari project. As elected officials, you all have an awesome responsibility to shape our community. I think this last spring race caused many of us to ask, what does our city want to be when it grows up? Do we want to be considered the party capital of the world? Or is there a better forward for us to be taking? I've watched and participated in numerous discussions in the last few months about changing the identity of the city, the brand, into an arts and capital, cultural capital. There have been many good ideas discussed, but to date, none have been implemented. Today, you have an opportunity to vote in favor of a better future for us, one that's sustainable and meaningful, that we as residents can take pride in. The Bulgari brand sits at the pinnacle of luxury hotel brands in the world. It sits at the intersection of arts, culture, fashion, hospitality. I can think of no better way to tell the world that we're choosing a different path for a city to vote in favor of these items. We really truly appreciate your consideration. It's a great brand, and truly, we're lucky to have been chosen to be the first Bulgari hotel in the United States. I'd like to recognize my vice president from the chamber and all of you once again, what Wendy said earlier, for all your efforts during COVID. Miami Beach Chamber of Commerce truly appreciates everything. Thank you. Dean John Stewart will just, in light of the late hour, we won't read the whole resolution that was passed by the board on May 4th. We will just enter it we'll give it to the clerk. But Dean?
Perfect. Thank you. Nope. Nothing to say, but John Stewart, 900 Bay Drive. And here on behalf of the chamber, I'm going to just give the May 4th resolution of the chamber in support of this to the clerk. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Anyone else want to be heard?
Mayor, commissioners, my name is Brad Gould. I represent the Satay Hotel Acquisition, which is the owner of the 88 units that comprise the Dempsey Vanderbilt Hotel. My client concurs and joins in the argument that Mr. Robinson made, so I'm not going to repeat it. I just wanted to bring a couple points that he didn't touch on. One is that, you know, this ordinance or the amendments to this ordinance are clearly for the Bulgari Hotel. The commission memorandum specifically states that. It says that the administration has met with the applicant regarding the attached draft ordinance, which would amend the applicable sections of the LDRs that apply to the proposed development on the site. And I bring that up because, you know, the sole purpose of the amendments are for the benefit of the Bulgari at the sole detriment of the Satay. And that's arbitrary and capricious. I also wanted to mention that there is a property right under Florida law for air, light, and view if it's by contract or by statute. There is no common law right, but if there is a statute that creates a view corridor, it becomes a property right. Obviously, when the ordinance was amended in 2007, they purposely put that language in. There has to be a reason for it, and the only logical reason is that it was to prevent corridors. We would ask that that language remain in the ordinance and not be part of the text amendment. And if the Bulgari Hotel, as it says, is not affecting our views, then it wouldn't be substantially reducing existing or established view corridors, and it wouldn't have a problem with, its addition. I will say that at the planning board, the Bulgari Hotel did admit that they were impacting at least six of our views, which they did not, recognize here tonight. Thank you. And we'd ask that not include the language removing the existing view corridors.
Okay, anyone else want to be heard? Mr. Mayor Breslin.
Very quickly, at this late hour, as you well know, the Collins Park Neighborhood Association supports this project. We're very happy that in addition to being in Miami Beach, it's in Collins Park. And they didn't pick Collins Park just out of chance. Look what they're sitting next to. They're sitting next to the Setai. They're sitting next to the W. They're sitting next to the One Hotel and Homes and their flagship. They're sitting by Fana, the new Amen. They came here particularly for that location. And if the Setai was so concerned about their view corridors, they could have bought the property. They could have done whatever they wanted to do with it. The Setai is the Goliath in our neighborhood. There's nothing we can do about it. Just like the One Hotel is the biggest footprint probably in all of Miami Beach, we live with it. But please don't stop the Bulgari Hotel from giving us what we all want and need. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Come on, you can speak.
Good evening, Board. I just wanted to pick up on what Ray said. This is a precarious time for the beach where we're seeing great change, a movement towards something different, a new, more illustrious beach with a better brand. And this Bulgari project represents one of the dominoes that could lead to this new brand. It's a special brand. I've looked at it online, and it's nice to see that we have such a luxury hotel considering us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your name, please.
Oh, sorry. Anthony Villa del Rey, resident there in the Collins Park neighborhood.
Thanks, Anthony. Okay. Any questions? I'm going to close the public hearing. Anybody moving it? Commissioner Ariola moves it. I'll second it.
I will move it.
Anybody want to be heard? Great project. Let's vote. Oh, minor.
I just wanted to give a quick the one I'm supportive. The one pause that I looked at very carefully is the vacating the right-of-way, which we're going to have continued access, so the public won't notice a difference. But I just wanted to state for the record that I do look very carefully when we're vacating a right-of-way, and I may not always be supportive. I'm supportive here for two reasons. One, this is a high-end property, ultra-high-end would be a better way to say it. And as we grapple with the issues of dealing with what we're talking about in South Beach, and this is literally right in that area, 21st and Collins, there's no better way. This is exactly the vision that we have for our city and trying to address some of the issues. The second thing is if we didn't approve the right-of-way, there's two options. One, the Bulgari could have just walked away, or they could have taken this to voter referendum, and our residents could have decided. But we would have also forfeited $7.4 million because that's part of the package. So I try not to make decisions based just on pure economic incentives, but $7.4 million obviously is significant and a use our city can make good use of. And together with the type of property we are bringing in, to me it was kind of a no-brainer. I'm supportive.
Okay, call the roll.
Vice Mayor Congora.
I never got to ask my question.
Oh, I didn't know you had one. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay, I supported this last time, and I'm also a supporter of the Bulgari. I have a legal question over something that was raised. There seems to be a lot of talk about the striking of this language about established view corridors. I'm unclear when I read this. I read it to be that it was talking about the view corridors that the public have when they are walking by, but their presentation, as I see it, assumes it's a property right and gives them a view corridor. So my question is there any significance to this phrase, and would it change anything if it's there or not?
Okay, is this a lawyer or a planning guy?
We can both answer, but we disagree with the assessment that there are any private view rights here, and the ordinance is its design criteria, and it has been construed as you look at it from the views from the public right of way, not from private properties. But Tom could get into it and address it further.
Sure, that's correct. It's important to point out a couple things. One, prior to the 2007 ordinance, you could do a detached ground level addition. You were just limited to five stories, 50 feet. The 2007 ordinance allowed a detached, or in this case, an attached addition, to go up to match the height of the building. That never went forward. But that language that was put in the 2007 ordinance did not in any way, shape, or form protect a view corridor from an adjacent or abutting property. In fact, the language was taken partially from the Certificate of Appropriateness criteria, which remains in effect. And I would just draw your attention to Section 118-564, paren 3, specifically D, E, and J, which clearly talk about appropriateness and compatibility with adjacent structures, relationship to the surrounding neighborhood, And then finally, J, any proposed new structure shall have an orientation and massing which is sensitive to and compatible with the building site and surrounding area and which creates or maintains important view corridors. All of this, among a number of other criteria, will be used by the Historic Preservation Board when their application goes before it. So there will be a number of criteria that the HPB will use when evaluating their addition.
Okay, so the city's position is that this language didn't give abutting property owners any rights to a view corridor. This was a public view corridor.
Correct.
Okay, I guess my question is, then why are we striking it?
We're recommending that it be struck for two reasons. One, that language is no longer applicable because it was for a previous project. So we basically rewrote this section of the code. We decided that it would be better to rewrite this in a much simpler, more measurable format. And that language, because it was included within the certificate of appropriateness criteria in 118.564, it was duplicative. And it didn't apply to anything from a measurable standpoint because it doesn't expressly say that it's a view corridor from this property or that property. And so we felt that it was better to rely on the language that's in 118.564 as far as the review of the addition when it comes to the HPB. So that's why we removed it from the proposed amendment to section 142.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Richardson, Commissioner Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to have staff confirm that there have been no changes between first reading and second reading. So is this exactly as it was written in first reading, or are there any changes?
Nope, it's exactly the same. There was no changes to the ordinance between readings.
Thank you.
Good argument. Let's call the roll.
Commissioner Vice Mayor Gongora.
Yes.
Commissioner Richardson.
Yes.
Commissioner Minor.
Yes.
Commissioner Steinberg.
Yes.
Commissioner Arriola.
Yes.
Commissioner Samuelin.
Yes.
Mayor Gelbert.
Yes.
Motion carries. The item is approved.
All right, let's get to our... what's the next one? R7A?
R7A, I have to read the title of this one. It's a resolution of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, approving on second reading public hearing of this resolution the vacation of that portion of the southern half of 21st Street, generally located between approximately 150 feet east of Collins Avenue and Miami Beach Drive, and consisting of approximately 6,736 square feet in total area, as more particularly described in Exhibit A to the memorandum accompanying this resolution, the ROW, in favor of the abutting property owner, BHI Limited Miami Corporation, the applicant, further providing that the vacation of the city ROW right-of-way shall be subject to and conditioned upon the applicant's delivery of certain public benefits to the city, including a payment in the amount of $7,400,000, a maintenance agreement providing for the installation and perpetual maintenance of additional landscaping within the city's beach access and beach walk area east of Miami Beach Drive, as more particularly depicted on Exhibit E to the memorandum accompanying this resolution, and a perpetual easement in favor of the city over the right-of-way to ensure the continued public use of the right-of-way for city access, pedestrian, and vehicular travel and utilities, and waiving by 5-7 vote the competitive bidding requirement pursuant to Section 82-38 of the City Code, finding such waiver to be in the best interest of the city, and further authorizing the mayor and city clerk to execute a vacation agreement, a copy of which is attached in substantial form as Exhibit F to the commission memorandum accompanying this resolution. This is a public hearing, and it's a second reading.
Okay. Got the A team is here. Eric, you want to cue this up for us? We're on second reading. It passed unanimously on first reading?
Yes,
and it was also approved by the planning board.
Okay, so let's go ahead, Eric. Cue it up. It did pass unanimously.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Commissioners, Madam Manager, Mr. Attorney, Mr. Clerk, Eric Carpenter, Assistant City Manager, and your Acting Public Works Director. This particular item is here before you for the second time. It was approved on February 10th and set for a public hearing today. This is a vacation of 6,736 square feet, a relatively small portion of right-of-way along 21st Street. There were two appraisals on the property, one for $5 million done by the applicant and one for $7.4 million done by the city. We have secured the commitment for the payment of the $7.4 million, consistent with the larger of the two appraisals. It was approved, as the attorney said, by the Planning Board on April 27th. And in addition to the payment, the grant of a perpetual non-revocable easement back to the city and some additional landscaping and maintenance along the beach walk behind the property, as well as the beach access to the east of the area we're discussing. The applicant shall pay all of the city's costs, and the one significant change that we have been able to secure since first reading is we've actually been able to advance some of the payments as opposed to a $750,000 payment at the point where we get 30 days past the HPB approval. It's now a $1 million payment, and at the point of building permit issuance, as opposed to a $3.325 million payment, it's now a $4 million payment. And the remainder will be paid prior to the applicant's request for a TCO for the property. So I think we've made some positive movement, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you. Nice job. Let's open up the public hearing. Okay, 2 minutes.
And we have someone from Zoom. Want to do that one first?
Okay, let's do the Zoom for person. Is that okay? We'll do the Zoom person first. 2 minutes.
Our first caller is Daniel Seraldo. Mr. Seraldo, you have 2 minutes.
Yes, thank you. Hi, everyone. Nice to see you all. Daniel Seraldo with Miami Design Preservation League. We're all very thrilled, obviously, about the Bulgari at the north end of the Art Deco Architectural District. I do know there has been concern expressed in the community by people who are, you know, very knowledgeable with the zoning and the charter that, you know, that this might be something that could potentially be good for the voters to review. And I just wanted to ask if that might be a possibility, especially I believe Commissioner Miner mentioned there was like $7.5 million in public benefits. And if the Bulgari were open to it, that this could go on the ballot and, you know, let the voters confirm it. Hopefully the Bulgari would still be willing to give that public benefit, which I know there's a lot of great potential uses for. But overall, it's an exciting project, and thanks for your consideration.
Thank you. Next speaker. Is there anyone else from Zoom?
No, sir.
Okay. Anyone in the audience? 2 minutes.
So good evening, Mayor Gelber, Commissioners Michael Larkin, 200 South Biscayne Boulevard, here representing the Bulgari Hotel. I'm not going to go over the ground that Eric covered, but please note that whenever you all have wanted to instigate and promote high-quality development, game-change development in this city, you all have used a street vacation as a method to do so. Starting way back when the city was created of the Roney Hotel in 1917, flash forward to the Ritz-Carlton on the north side of Lincoln Road, then you have Ocean Terrace 2019, and now you have the Bulgari Hotel. The second point I'd like to make is at the planning board hearing, Kent, who is the objector attorney for the Satay Hotel, referenced section 82-38, subsection 4, which is one of the criteria the planning department uses to create the planning analysis of street vacation applications. It asks whether street vacation would block views. When they're talking about the views that are being blocked, it's over the public property. It has nothing to do with the private property. Here, we're going to grant an easement right back to the city that will maintain 21st Street in exactly the same configuration as it is now. Therefore, we are compliant with this criterion. We do not violate it. The last point I want you all to consider is a five-star hotel does not have 50% of its units looking into a cavernous parking garage. It does not subject its guests to being woken up late at night with valet attendants yelling at each other, with car alarms going off, with the horns honking. This floor area will permit these units that are now facing south into this garage to be turned to look toward the east. And this, the approval of the street vacation will make the Bulgari Hotel a reality here in our great city. So I wish that you all would grant this application, and I'm happy to answer any questions you all might have. So thank you.
Anyone else? 2 minutes.
I'm not going to get into referendum issues. Those have been submitted in writings to the commission, and there have been some fair arguments saying that the Save Miami Beach Amendment should be applied here, as well as the charter
provision concerning access and easements to the beach, but that's preserved in writing. So let's go into an issue involving money, because it seems like money is driving this, and it's a tremendous public benefit. But I think the city has left a lot of money on the table. Let me explain why. When they did the comps, when both appraisers did the comps, they did not include the comp that was the most pertinent, and that was the comp of the sale at 121st Street. That happened on January 9th, 2020. It's this particular property. If you do the evaluation of the what was paid per square foot of FAR, a total of $972 was paid per square foot for FAR. What you're paying is $550 a square foot for FAR. So doing the calculations, this is all arithmetic, at $972 a square foot, a 13,473 FAR additional square footage, the valuation would come out to $13,095,756. You are getting $7,400,000, so what you're leaving on the table is $5,695,756. So you're leaving over $5 million on the table. That was what they paid, what this developer paid for the FAR. Why should you get anything less than what they paid? You're leaving $5 million for them. You should get that $5 million, and you should insist upon that. You shouldn't be had by these people.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Public hearing's closed. Let's come back to the commissioners. Anybody going to move the item? I'll second it.
Mayor, can I just address very briefly the since several members of the public commented on the charter issue. So in the commission memorandum accompanying this item, we've included a detailed analysis of our legal position evaluating all of the potentially all of the charter provisions that were potentially implicated, and we are following the charter, and under 1.03b4 of the charter, this is properly before you. It requires a planning board approval, which was obtained last month, and a 6/7 vote, which is a very heightened requirement, as we all know. This is a legislative act, and it is within your discretion to approve it if you find that it's in the best interest of the city.
Thank you. Okay. Commissioner Gangora, Vice Mayor Gangora.
Yes. Just to follow up on that legal question, I just wanted somebody from the city to confirm for me that 21st Street doesn't go all the way to the water, because if it did, then it would require a public referendum, right?
That's right, and I could confirm that. And it's shown in the memorandum. There is a folio that is east of 21st Street, and that is waterfront property. 21st Street is not waterfront property. It is not part of the cultural campus. It is not a street end. It is not a public beach right-of-way that extends to the erosion control line. It is subject to approval under 1.03b4, which is the catch-all approval for all remaining city properties for sale or lease of over 10 years.
Okay, and I'm going to echo, I think it was Miner that said it earlier. I'm not in favor, and I don't like these vacations as a means to getting developments to happen, and there seems to be a proliferation of them. I am a supporter of this project. I think it's a great project. It's the Bulgari Hotel, and that's why we are excited about it. I don't know if we're getting the right or wrong amount of money, but at this point I'm going to trust that the city appraisals and finance committee got it right, and I think we want to make it happen. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I hope that we don't start seeing more of these vacations to add FAR to make projects happen. But I'm prepared to support this one and get it done.
Okay. Commissioner Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just have a couple of questions. The first you already answered. I was going to ask, are we violating the law? And you've clearly said we are not, correct?
That's right, sir.
Thank you. And Eric, I know you mentioned that there was a change from first reading, but my understanding it is only as it relates to the timing, the cash flow of the payment. Is that correct?
That's correct.
No other changes?
Correct.
Right. And have there been any encumbrances on the money, or will the money hasn't been earmarked, so the money that we receive will go into our revenue, I mean our reserve account, correct?
Yeah, it will go basically wherever the commission decides to put it.
Okay. And are there any restrictions on the cash flow? For example, if they don't get a certain approval at one of the committees or boards, and the project would fit, would we refund the money? Is that the way the – I don't know if that's a legal question or if that's a question for you, but what would happen if they don't get the approvals that they are seeking and we have their money in our bank account?
I'll let Rafael confirm, but my understanding is if they do not receive a building permit from the city, then we would be required to refund the money.
That's right. That's how it's drafted in the agreement.
So that would be an even better reason to leave it unencumbered or spent until we know for sure that we're going to be able to keep it. Okay, I'm supportive of this, and I appreciate all the hard work. I'm looking forward to having this project in our city. Thank you.
Okay, let's call the roll.
It's a voice vote. You're able to do a roll call?
A voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, nay. Show it passed unanimously. All right.
Wait, you have one more item.
We have one more item.
Yes, sir. It's R9B, discuss update 63rd Street Bridge, requested by Commissioner Steinberg, R9B.
I'll be quick because I know everybody's tired, but this is a really important issue. The situation at the 63rd Street Bridge has been exasperated, and the Coast Guard has been running a pilot on the weekends to no longer have it on demand, but to have it on the half hour, an hour. Now, what I'm going to say is that the Coast Guard did not notify the city to let us know that tomorrow is the last day that anybody who wishes to comment on this for them to make their rule, their final rule on the weekend hours of operation. So I urge us all through your media platforms or what have you to let the public know that tomorrow is the last day. We're also urging the Coast Guard to please extend the time for comment, because as of now, no one was aware that they had it open for comment. And according to the Coast Guard, they basically said, "Well, I don't want to surmise, Jose. Why don't you just give them the 30 seconds?"
Do you have a view on what it should be?
Of course, I have a view on what it should be, but I think right now the public, it should not be on demand anymore. Right now, on the weekends, it's been on the half hour, an hour. It's causing other issues, but the point is. And we can talk to the Coast Guard about it, but the point is it cannot be on demand, meaning any time a vessel on the water is by that bridge, it can open up, causing undue issues and just it's traumatic for many. Go, Jose.
What's staff's view?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. As Commissioner Steinberg pointed out, today we found out that tomorrow is the last day for the public to opine on the pilot, which is specific to the weekend. It's a weekend schedule pilot. Prior to the pilot, which started in December of last year, the bridge used to open fully on demand during the weekends, meaning whenever there was a vessel that wished to cross and would signal the bridge tender, the bridge tender was required to open. During the pilot, the Coast Guard placed the bridge on a schedule of opening every half hour, essentially on the half hour mark and on the hour mark, Saturdays and Sundays. So it does, to some extent, regulate and control that traffic, and it's easier, a bit easier to plan around it. We've been in communications with the Coast Guard since December of last year. Every couple months or so, we check back in on them in preparation for this item. I checked in with them today, and that's how we found out that tomorrow is the deadline.
Do you have a position as to what would be best for our residents in terms of the opening, on demand or on the half hour, an hour?
So Mr. Mayor, we haven't seen the data that resulted from the pilot, but based on, we do receive a lot of feedback from the community, from residents there, and based on the feedback that we've received, there seems to be some support for the half hour and 1 hour schedule on weekends versus just fully on demand where it can open however many times in an hour. But it's hard to gauge. That's just based on emails that we receive.
There are other issues that we're working through, because the length of time that the bridge is open due to the additional watercrafts that are out now through this post-pandemic phenomenon with more charter boats. The length of hours of openings are lengthened, and we need to address that, and that's more for during the week, Monday through Friday. Today we're talking about weekends. Commissioner Gongora.
Thank you. No, I agree with you, and I'm glad that you put this item on the agenda. I live very close to the bridge. I see it from my balcony, and I think it's important that we have a position, and I think the half hour, an hour openings is good because you know what to expect when you're a resident that needs ingress or egress to your home. I think most of the neighborhood associations in that area and my neighbors prefer it that way. There has been a huge proliferation of boating since the pandemic. I mean, boats are constantly going down Indian Creek, so if the bridge is going to go up every time a boat goes up, I suspect it's going to be much more than every half hour, an hour. So I would support that. Secondarily, we're encouraging people to tell the Coast Guard, but how do we do that?
Okay,
I'm a commissioner, and I don't know how to reach out to them. Yeah. I have a position. I would like to keep the half hour an hour. Maybe we could do a rezo to that effect.
So my after the fact rezo, obviously encouraging that we no longer have on demand and we continue a schedule on the weekends. However, separately, can you please tell everybody where they can go so that all my colleagues can actually put their own information in, and you can put in your information.
Commissioner, I believe that our communications department has actually prepared blasts to inform everyone as quickly as possible, and we have a narrative that you can use. Kevin, am I correct?
Right. Hi, good afternoon. Kevin Polito, Neighborhood Affairs Division. We are sending an email this evening, and it does have a link to the Coast Guard's page where you can provide public comment. So if you can share that through your mediums, it's also going to be shared through the city's channel, so you could also reshare that if that's needed. And then you could share that with your residents and neighbors to please provide the comments by tomorrow. And as Jose stated, they are asking for an extension. But we would like everybody to submit comments as soon as possible.
Listen, I just want to, we don't know whether they're going to extend it. You all are saying that half hour, an hour is your preferred versus on demand. Commissioner, would you like
now,
a resolution on that?
For this, yes, an after the fact resolution. We don't even have to get into the specifics, but definitely saying that we need a regular schedule on the hour or half hour, just not on demand. However, separately, you know how we have the text alert program, maybe it would behoove us to also send that link out via that so people are aware. I don't want to bother them too late at night, so maybe in the morning. And again, the reason we know this is because Jose did reach out to them today ahead of this item, and unfortunately the Coast Guard did not feel it was their responsibility to notify the city that they were taking comments and ending it tomorrow. So we're going to be proactive and get out the word as best we can. There are other issues with the 63rd Street Bridge that are going to be discussed next month, so I will save everybody the agony to keep you here tonight.
Okay. First of all, I want to just take care of this. We have a motion.
By acclamation.
I'll second the motion.
Any objections to it? Okay, show it done. Anybody else want to be heard? Commissioner Minor.
Jose, would the Coast Guard be amenable to come here if, like, Commissioner Steinberg's taking the lead on this, and they're coming in. Would they be willing to come in and address us?
They have in the past, Commissioner.
Yes, they have.
They've come before this body before, when during the previous 63rd Street Bridge restrictions, which basically locks down the bridge during the morning rush hour and the afternoon rush hour. It wasn't always that way. That's something we worked on about four years ago, I would say.
It was 2016, to be exact.
2016, and Commissioner Steinberg took the lead on that. And it's a process, but they came and they described their process. And
could you make the invitation for
reach out to them? Yes, we're reaching out to the Admiral to have a face-to-face meeting with the Admiral to discuss the day-to-day operations of the bridge. Monday through Friday, there are various concerns that we have with the frequency and the duration of those openings.
Okay. And this is an issue that 63rd Street is a real issue. We're also seeing it on Venetian, but the issue at 63rd Street, it could be rectified much easier.
Yeah, and it seems like the complaints have increased significantly recently.
All right, thank you. So next month you'll hear it, and you'll have the Coast Guard here. And so I just encourage everybody to follow the lead of communications, get the link out, and let people know.
All right.